What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hi, this is Chi.
Manny Del Mato.
I'm tired, but I'm getting better.
You're tired. I'm tired.
We're all tired. It's Monday.
Yeah. It's Monday night.
I hate those Monday shows, but hey,
sometimes. I don't like it either.
Well, it's because we were all celebrating our mothers on Sunday, and she needs 150% of her time and attention on that one day of the year, guys.
Not worth it.
We kind of luck out in this house. All the mothers, Mexican Mother's Day is a different day. It's like 4 days before.
It's on. Mm-hmm. It was on Friday, right? Or Thursday?
I don't know.
Thursday.
So Thursday. And so we get to go to the restaurants when nobody's there and stuff. It's pretty nice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I got to play video games all day Sunday. Like, nobody bothered me. It was like Emilio's Day. Less than, more than it was Mother's Day.
Damn. So I think this is the first ever. We've got nothing in the intro. We've got nothing to talk about. Nothing to lead us into this episode.
Mother's Day.
We might as well just sell out. Hey, don't forget to check us out on Twitch and iTunes as well. If you leave us a review, you qualify. And Patreon. If you leave us a review in iTunes, you permanently qualify for iTunes giveaways. So that's awesome.
Just anytime you want to know anything about us, if you just listen to us, but you haven't gone a step further, just go to dlgaming.net. From there, you can find everything.
Except our Facebook page. Minnie and I had the most impossible time looking that up the other day.
That was ridiculous, man. I was on Facebook for like 10 minutes trying to find our page.
Yeah.
And then you found it like instantly.
Well, I have a link or something.
Oh, okay.
Don't try to find that until we get a link for it up there.
But is Facebook really that important anymore?
Super important, dude.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, yeah. Who was I'll asking about it? It was Rubber Nuts, I think, was asking about
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
He just wanted to stalk us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you can check out our MySpace and our LiveJournal and all those, too, on our website as well. So.
To get away from...
That top nine.
I mean, to go more towards stereotypes. I think, like, if you were to take all our fans from different places, most of the crazy ones have been coming from Australia. I think there's just crazy fucks down there.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to be to live out there.
Yeah.
To stay out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't that like the prison island for the British or something? Yeah. Like they sent all the people they didn't want to deal with.
Colony.
So.
Penal colony, not penile.
Yeah.
the penis colony.
And now, arguably, I would rather live in Australia than Europe.
The Australian accent is the sexiest accent in the world to me.
Oh, when a girl does it?
When a guy does Irish. It too, it doesn't matter. I mean, rubber nuts.
I like when Irish
Did we ever come to conclusion what Minnie's sexual orientation is?
Well, he has a girlfriend. But nobody's ever seen her.
I guess it depends on the night and what he has in his hand. Yeah. So,
or in my mouth.
And take it away, Bobby.
His sexual orientation depends whether or not you have $20 on you.
Yes.
All right. So first game on the radar here that we've been looking at, Atomic Heart.
Yeah. Who did you put it up, Bobby?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. So this is crazy. So it's a Russian game that nobody really knew about. It just kind of like this video came out and it looks like BioShock. It looks like Half-Life. It looks like, what is the other one? Prey. You know, it's one of these immersive sims, but these gigantic games, usually you see come down the pike, like 2-3 years, you know, you see the development stuff. And then this video looks like a completely, totally fleshed out game. Super weird, though. Really crazy Russian antics going on. And it's exciting because, like, we might get one of, like, a awesome open world best of, and those are the ones that are the best ever.
You look at me and say open world.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
With your eyes and in your face, mouth, everything's just, like, staring at me.
It's just a video. But yeah, it has reminiscence of all these amazing games.
It's a video of what looks like the actual gameplay.
Yeah, it's all gameplay. It seems like
top-notch quality.
Exactly. And
what kind of game is this? First-person shooter, adventure,
immersive sim. So kind of like BioShock.
Okay.
First-person shooter.
It looks a bit like Nier Automata.
Yeah,
like the robots.
Oh, yeah, the style.
Yeah, the
style
like of the robots. The whole robotic.
But not the actual gameplay, because this is a first-person shooter.
Definitely not the gameplay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's cool. I guess it's going to come out this year, and It's exciting. It's exciting because
it's an unknown dev, right?
Yeah, it's an unknown dev. But Bundfish. We've been tricked by the Russians before. So
we've also been unpleasantly surprised.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. So it could go either way on this.
No price on this game.
But it is exciting. Check out this video. Even if you're not into this kind of game, check it out. I was kind of like, real, you know, I'm the hype train master. So I was like, guys, check this out.
Yeah, if nothing else, Atomic Heart definitely looks interesting.
E3 is coming up, so maybe perhaps we'll find out more about it.
Right. What do you think about immersive sims? Like, you know,
I don't think I've ever played. Oh, yeah, I like that one. Half-Life?
I think they're great.
Yeah, I love those.
Okay.
As long as they're linear.
Linear, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It looks good. The footage looks good. It's compelling. Yeah. I'm interested to know more about this. All right.
It's funny because I didn't put that up there, but I knew about it. Oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, good eye. Also in the immersive sim department, Rage 2. So the first Rage was the first misstep for id Software, one of my favorite development companies. But
someone mentioned Rage 2, and it is the racing game, correct?
No.
I mean, there was racing incorporated.
There was racing in it.
But it was more of an action adventure. So this was after, I think, it made Doom 3.
Yes.
They were coming off of that.
It was quite a bit after. Like, I think it was made in, like, 2009?
Yeah, it was released 08, 09, something like that. And nobody was really satisfied with this game. The game itself, and there were some technical problems when it came out. It used very high-res textures. This is the last game id made while John Carmack was there.
They were going for Mad Max, and it didn't land.
Post-apocalyptic wasteland. I played about halfway through this game. I've never finished it.
It's one of the last games that I torrented, I think. But you say that the first one was their misstep. You know what their second misstep was? This trailer's awful, dude.
For Rage 2?
Yeah. I don't know why they're using...
I haven't watched it yet.
This is it. Why are they using these live actors that have nothing to do... I mean, obviously, they're dressed up like the people in the wasteland.
Yeah.
But it's just stupid. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a teaser trailer. It's...
They can go fuck themselves.
Yeah. Well, live action has never really played well in video game trailers. People want to see the game. They don't want to be sold an idea or, you know, a concept or a style. You know, they want to see the actual
game. But cosplay is so huge.
The what?
But cosplay
is huge for characters that are known. These are all unknown wrestlers.
These are all actors doing this.
Yeah. Okay. So chat's saying Rage 2 gameplay footage is coming tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be interested. It's Bethesda, which owns id Software now, but I'd give it a chance. It's just nobody really asked for a sequel to Rage.
Right.
So it just seems strange that it would come out.
They're on a crazy streak right now of really good games, so I'm going to give it to them.
You know, I had zero confidence in Doom, the remake with Bethesda. I thought it was just going to be a piece of crap.
Yeah.
But when I played it, I was like, holy. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because of what the Bethesda is known for, I know they're just a publisher, but they made those games that are really buggy, and they're not meant for like the action hardcore things. But Doom just came out, and it was, I mean, again, they were just a publisher. But yeah, that game was my favorite game of the year.
I think that engine is fantastic, too. I think they used id Tech 6 for that one. Or that's the most recent incarnation I have of that. But I don't know. I mean, I want to go back and play Rage. That's a game that I've been meaning to go back and complete and give it a fair shot.
I completed the game.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah, back in like 2009-10. I can't remember much about it.
It was single player strictly or any co-op to it?
Strictly,
single player.
I think when I first saw Rage, I was hoping that it was going to be a co-op experience, maybe something that kind of picks up where Borderlands left off.
Yeah.
But that was obviously not the case, and therefore I never really branched into it.
Maybe they'll have, I guess we'll know tomorrow, but maybe
why did
have,
I think it was a racing game? What's
because there was cars racing. It was Mad Max ish, right?
So no, there's actually like a mini game. You go in and you race other people. It's like a race to the death, and you can earn equipment or something like that. I don't know. It's a distant memory for me, so it's hard to recall exactly what it is. But racing was a big part of that game.
Okay.
Yeah, this game is not long at all, so it wouldn't take maybe like 6 to 8 hours.
Don't play this game, Bobby. There's no reason for you to play this game. Unless you kind of want to see what was in Carmack's head at the time. I don't know.
He was definitely more on the technical side of things.
Yeah.
The whole high-res texture, I mean, was a big step that they were taking at that time, and it might have been a little too much for the technology that was available. But I don't know. I just want to give the game a shot because I think there were some good parts to it. It's hard to take that game in context because we have so much like it out now.
Now,
considering it came out in 2008 or 2009, it might have been a little more fresh.
You could play Mad Max and enjoy it way more. Mad Max was everything Rage was supposed to be.
Obviously, it feels so cookie cutter to me, though. Like, it just feels like it could be any game with a Mad Max thing. And some dude had a British or had a fucking Brooklyn accent in that. That's when I was like, all right, fuck you, game.
You played it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I played it at the same time you did.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't make it as far through it.
Oh, yeah. I finished it.
Yeah. Thanks, JD Constriction, for the sub, by the way. Don't want to miss you there.
Thanks, buddy. I want to talk about something I didn't put on here before I lose it.
Okay.
State of the K2 is coming out on the 22nd. Bobby, I remember you played this one, right?
I played the first one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so 2 is coming out... It's zombie survival, third-person perspective. It's kind of like a simulation, though, because I think it's pretty accurate. You know, you're going and you're scrounging for food and trying to make your base bigger. And it's a living world that you're going to be in. It's not like – it's more Walking Dead than it is Day of the Dead, where all the shit goes down and you try to survive. Mm-hmm. This is more about the long haul in the way that I understand it. So you have to go on – food runs, and you have vehicles, and you have to worry about... It's basically Walking Dead, which is...
It is a co-op experience, correct?
Yeah, now it is. Yeah,
the first one was lacking. I played the first one, and it was a great game. And people had told me this before it ever came to PC. It was on Xbox, and they would always tell me about this game, and I was like, well, it's not on PC. I'm not going to play it. Finally comes to PC, no support for keyboard and mouse, controller only for the longest time. So I had it for a while, and then I finally played it when they had keyboard and mouse support. Fantastic game. Would have worked 1,000 times better if there was multiplayer involved.
Like, and now, I loved everything and now there it. Is.
And yeah. now there is. This is so, very Bobby, appealing to me.
Am I going to get you to play a zombie game, Bobby? Is this going to happen?
Wait, Bobby doesn't play zombie games? I thought it was a big Left 4 Dead. Yeah.
Usually he'll be
fanboy like me.
Zombies.
I'm a fanboy, apparently.
I never hit the point of too much zombies. Like, even in the height of zombies, like 4 years ago, like, mm-hmm. even then I was like, more zombies. Like, yeah. I can't get enough of zombies.
I don't mind it in video games. When it comes to a movie, though, like, yeah, I'm a little burnt out on it. But this is going to be exclusively on Microsoft Store.
Yeah. And I don't
look who's not getting it.
Yeah, the Mac 2 over here.
No, this looks really good, and it kind of reminds me of DayZ a little bit. Yeah, I don't think I ever really looked into State of Decay too much originally, maybe because it was a single player game, but now that it's co-op, it just seems like a lot of fun.
After you said
is this all DayZ? Strictly PvE though?
I think so, yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know, maybe you can run into another crew. I'm not sure. I didn't do that much looking into it, but right when you said DayZ, you know what reminds me or even more is H1Z1, I think.
But H1Z1 is
now it's more of a Royale game. Yeah,
this looks very Ubisoft.
The graphics
almost is like what Fortnite was supposed to be. It was like you run out, you get resources, and you try to survive the night by, you know, getting food, water, ammunition, boards to like build up your base, and then you can move to like another location. This is the first one I'm describing. I don't know if the second one's going to be like it, but then you like move to another location, you meet new people, you get new allies, you could possibly make enemies. There could be, I don't know. We'll have to see what State of Decay 2 is like. How much is this going for? I know it's included in the Xbox Game Pass. Chat is very distracting right now. But it's part of the, so $10 a month, you get access to this game. But if you're just going to buy it flat out, how much are you paying?
Well, I think it's a $60 game, but I think it's... All right, we gotta. So, epic tryhard face at Emilio sitting next to Minnie looks like Captain America before and after.
I concur.
The syringe.
It's actually spot on.
So I just signed up for the Game Pass, which is $10 a month, like you just said, to play Sea of Thieves, and I'll elaborate on that later. But it's 14 days for free. I already know I'm just gonna keep it going, so I can play this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why, yeah. So done deal.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. They give you 2 weeks for free. I already used mine up to check out Sea of Thieves about a month ago.
Yeah. But now with both of these games for $10 a month,
if they had a yearly, I'd be into that
for less, right?
Like Origin Pass.
Origin Pass. Yeah.
Like, do you have Origin Pass?
No.
If you owned an Xbox, so this is a must buy though. I mean, $10 a month to access to all these games. That seems,
back when I had a PS Vita and I was on that, I had that thing, the PS Plus, and they would give you like a game a month. And it's like 10-15 bucks. I think it was like $15 a month for that. but they give you some good titles, and that's like a free game every month, and you got to keep them retroactively.
Mm.
So that was pretty cool, but then I just stopped using it.
I'm not wild about the graphics. That's the only thing I got to say. But besides that, everything looks great. I can't wait to play this game.
Mm. What's the release date on this?
The 22nd.
So May 22nd?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, right around the corner.
Does this...
Chi, would you...
this look exciting to you? Because nothing on this is...
You didn't play the first one. Yeah, okay. It doesn't look... I'm not seeing anything impressive.
It doesn't look as exciting as Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
The movement, it does seem very much like a console port.
It's very much like a simulation RPG type. Yeah. The first one, I still don't know if the second one's anything like this, but the first one, it was all about just like little by little building yourself up, becoming bigger and stronger, and your group would become bigger and stronger. Yeah. And that's the most exciting part of the game.
One game that I can say I really enjoyed was Dead Island. And this one is more of a, it's Dead Island was a lot of fun. This one here doesn't seem as, I think, challenging as Dead Island. I think maybe there's too much of a focus on scavenging versus being overwhelmed by enemies. Yeah.
Dead Island focused a lot more on the combat, and it was also much more linear. You're following a story. You're going from A to B to C to D.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy Dead Island.
This is much more open world.
And we're also seeing daytime right now. Nighttime is probably when the shit gets crazy. And when you have to survive, I think. I don't know.
The character in the game just yelled, "Yo, douche fucks."
Games are just getting a bit too much on emotes, I think.
We just checked out right now Deep Rock Galactic. It's a bunch of space dwarves, half shooting shit up and half mining at the same time. It's a four-player co-op with... And where they got me was... Bobby, where's the tags? Can you go right there? Okay, as a co-op exploration, and it's randomly generated levels, which every time I see that somewhere, I'm all about it. Especially on a four-player co-op, the reviews are good, but it's $25. It was just on sale. We didn't pick it up. I'm going to talk to the developers. Maybe we can get some and sell some of their titles from if it's a good game. But I think it looks sweet.
This looks like Alien Swarm, but like first person.
First person Alien Swarm.
Yeah.
Or more like Helldivers, because you're going out and you're exploring a world.
An alien
and there
world.
Are enemies, and you probably have certain
mining. And they're mining for something.
Missions.
They're mining for something.
Perhaps.
Yeah, look at those crystals.
Yeah.
So there's some sort of resource gathering, too. Anyway, looks sweet. Looks like fun. Hopefully we get to play this. I don't think we're going to drop $100 for four copies, but... we'll
I'm surprised they don't sell a four-pack.
Yeah.
How much would you pay to be a dwarf today, mining in outer space and finding intergalactic enemies?
I don't know. Minnie's already my dwarf. how much would you... Okay, sorry.
1874 is what it was at when it was on
sale.
That
was so rude. I'm sorry, dude.
That Captain America comment got to Amelia's head.
Wow. No, I've told him recently, not recently, but before, like somebody on my stream has said something similar to that.
Oh, yeah.
That you are just a big version of me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a small version.
People in chat are talking about Dying Light being the best zombie game. I loved it. I played it all the way through. I bought they have a bunch of new free content too, which is great. Mm-hmm. And, but I have not played The Following, which is the DLC that is bigger than the original game. I loaded it up the other game, but I wanted to play with somebody, but we'll see.
I got to night one on Dying Light, and I'm like, nope.
It's so scary, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, and...
just too much anxiety.
And there's the night... Okay, so there's zombies at night, but then there's those fucking mean motherfuckers. Did you see those?
Yeah, well, kind of. I was trying to run away from that.
Yeah.
Really fast.
Oh, that's all you can do. You can't fight them. No. There's these, like...
Super zombies
that come out at night. Oh, they're like... those motherfuckers, they have no skin.
I wish I would have tried out Dying Light. I think it's Dead awesome. By Daylight was the only.
It's awesome.
Not recent zombie game I've played, but zombie-esque game.
And Iron Harvest is another one. I think Gummy clicked. Or
and wait, Dead by Daylight doesn't even have zombies, does it? It just has these like weird monsters. I don't know what I'm talking
never
about.
Never played it. It's okay. I never know what you're talking about. Iron Harvest is an RTS that is retro-futuristic kind of diesel punk thing going on. It's like the 1920s. I kind of watched a little bit of the whole story. So they're kickstarting it. I think they got their goal. But this is how this game got started. There was an artist that made some paintings of like 1920s, like Europe with mechs kind of in the background. And like I guess they were really popular paintings, and they're like, how fucking cool is this? Let's make a game. So they made it an RTS, and now you're playing as, you know, not everything else is 1920s like armaments. So let's say World War One, except for these really clunky tin can. Imagine one of the mechs from like Warhammer that the orcs use. It's just like metal with legs, and that's basically what they're using. So anyway, it looks really cool to me. The aesthetic is awesome. We'll see how it goes. But it's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, looks cool, right?
Diesel mechs. Like, yeah, diesel powered mechs.
Diesel powered mechs.
Really cool.
Yeah.
And they're not like as big as the BattleTech ones. They're not like 50 feet. It's like 20 feet tall. And
maybe
just
20 feet.
Yeah. They look like feasible.
Yeah. Like if they did it in the 1920s, this is what they would look like, right? Yeah.
It's definitely a different type of setting for an RTS, and you can appreciate that.
Yeah.
It looks like you can even work around the environment. Your soldiers are taking cover.
And it looks exactly like
going through fields.
Something Brothers.
Brothers in Arms? No.
No, there was another RTS. There was an RTS that looks just like this, but take the mechs out.
Talking about Iron Hearts?
No. All right. I'm sorry.
What is this, like World War One?
Yeah, maybe World War Two.
Okay.
Yeah.
World War One, definitely.
This one is, yeah.
Okay.
This one. Oh, I thought you meant what I was talking about. Okay. Yeah. Spiky hats gives it away away, right?
World War One, yeah. Definitely.
Dude, the first battles in World War One, people showed up with fucking horses and like really brightly colored, like of their nation. Like when it was all going down,
yeah.
Like that shit was still being done.
Plate armor,
and then the fucking Germans showed up in all gray, and they were like, "What the fuck is this?" Yeah. Like they hadn't seen that, but it's more tactical,
camouflage,
right?
Yeah. What?
I can't see these motherfuckers.
Company of Heroes?
Company of Heroes, yes. Okay. Thank you very much. One and two. Very good RTS. It looks exactly like Company of Heroes, which was great. Really good RTS. But now they've added these old school mechs. Oh, I love this too.
There's a Muppet?
Yeah, you see the Muppet?
Yeah.
Like, they don't bring attention to the Muppet at all. They just kind of like, they're showing the offices, people working, and there's just a Muppet working on one of the computers.
Yeah,
I thought it was a really nice touch.
Trying to see what mouse that guy has right there.
Not the Muppet.
Oh, I see the Muppet.
This is what we're talking about, guys. this is the tech guy over here.
There's a
no.
There's a streamer who like just streams as a Muppet.
Oh, that's Benny Fitz. Brilliant.
And it's really crazy. Has anybody seen him? He's like a blue. He looks like a kind of like a blue Oscar the Grouch.
But I would imagine that like he's playing somewhere else and somebody else is controlling the Muppet, right?
It would have to be.
It's a two-man team.
Yeah, of course. But that Muppet is like he reacts so perfectly to everything in the game. Like it's
that's
just
awesome.
And then he'll like stare into the game. Like he won't say anything as if he's playing the game. And then he'll walk back to chat and like, he's really good. Benny Fitz, really funny guy.
Cool. That sounds cool. It seems like those character types do pretty well. You know, like... Dr. Disrespect, and then...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta have an angle.
Yeah, you gotta have an angle. Or you don't. Like, some guys are just like... Like, Ninja doesn't have an angle, I don't think. He's just...
Fortnite?
I don't know. That's true, if you want to call that an angle.
I don't know. I don't really follow a lot of the big streamers, so I couldn't comment too much on them.
What's next?
Talk about some games. Games that we have played. Who wants to go first?
Oh, man, I didn't play anything this week.
Wow.
BattleTech, I guess.
All right, well, podcast is over. Titties.
I'll talk about my trip to Heroes of the Dorm last weekend.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I went to Heroes of the Dorm, went up to Burbank Studios, where they do the Overwatch game.
I didn't know it was the old Johnny Carson set. I just learned that.
Oh, recently. It was?
Yeah.
Johnny Carson? That's so weird. For some reason, I always thought they filmed that in New York.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah, out there at Burbank Studios, great area, love it. Traffic was terrible. It took me 3 hours to get up, 3 hours to get back.
Jesus.
I could only stay there for about 2 hours because I had an NGS game that night, so it was very unfortunate. But I got to see the best set of the night, Cal Poly versus Buffalo. So that
was
good. It's great going to these things because you just see everybody from the Heroes community. Everybody was there, like streamers, competitive players, casters, everybody involved in the scene was there. It's a great venue.
How was your seat?
My seat was all right.
You weren't down on the floor, though, right?
No. There was a good amount of seating. First of all, it sold out. Chad contacted me, said, "Hey, man, are you going? I'm trying to get a ticket." And I'm like, yeah, you should be able to. Like, I had no idea it was going to sell out, but it was sold out. He couldn't get a ticket.
So wow.
It was unfortunate. But I got there. I find the nearest seat. Like, that's pretty good. And I asked the people, I'm like, oh, is this seat taken? And this girl guy gives me this look like she doesn't like me. I'm just like, whatever.
That's all right.
You're very unlikable, though.
I must be. But she's sitting there, you know, and she's got her friends and what I assume is her boyfriend on the other side. And she, when you were talking earlier, Chi, I think, I don't know if we were recording yet or not, but you were saying, is this okay? Because you're sitting kind of angled towards
me. Oh, yeah.
And I said, that's going to tie into a story I tell. Because this girl, like the body language, maybe I'm reading way too much into this. So like, you're me right there. This girl is like.
Yeah.
Like this. Just, like leaning as far away. Did you smell Bobby? No. I was looking great too, man. I mean, I'm going to see you with the dome.
Did you have your cologne on?
I'm wearing cologne, you know? Yeah. Like, I was like, this is kind of a big deal to me.
You know what? Maybe she had a really jealous boyfriend. Were you better looking than her boyfriend?
Of course.
These are like kids, man. These are like kids.
Why are you letting this kid get in your head?
Maybe
bro?
She was changing her body language to appease her significant other.
Yeah.
Her SO.
Watch me turn down. Watch me turn down this super hot guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In front of you, baby.
Mm-hmm. That was a physical swipe left.
How long was the whole thing, Bobby, that you were sitting there?
I was only there for like 2 hours. I couldn't stay too long because I had to get back and the traffic was just so fucking terrible. Oh my God. I listened to so many podcasts and an audiobook that I was very disappointed in, by the way.
Which one?
It was Patton Oswalt's first book, Zombie Spaceship Wastelands. His second audiobook, one of my favorite audiobooks of all time. So I'm like, first one's got to be good. No.
Was it read by him?
Yeah. Huh. He narrates his own books.
Do you listen to your audiobooks in double speed as well?
Like 1.5 speed.
Yeah, I just started listening to podcasts on 1.5, and I like it a way more.
What app lets you do that?
Almost all of them.
Really?
I think. Yeah. Which one do you use?
I use Podcast Go. Maybe I haven't tried.
I don't know. Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't listen at 1.5 because I like listening to you just the overall pacing and the way people speak. Anything's YouTube videos I like at 1.5.
Whoa,
Or school.
I didn't even know that was an option.
Yeah, school videos I do that. But for podcasts, I just like
the natural flow. At 3.6. It's just like, you get through way more content that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll have to just wait for that one scene. You can just get through all three of them real quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four different windows, all at 3.6.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
Clown Lotion, you're right. I do have quite a few colognes. I might have more cologne than I do have shoes.
This is true.
You know how many shoes I got.
I think Bobby, I think I remember in Bobby's bathroom, he has a cologne of one of my ex-boyfriends. And I'm like, oh, hey. And I think I commented on that
one. Cool water? Because every ex-boyfriend has cool water.
No, no.
That's one of my favorites.
Of course it is, from the 80s.
Yeah. Oh. Can't go wrong with cool water. Yeah, but anyway, here's where the dorm was. A lot of fun. Just wish I could have stayed later. It's just, those games are usually stomps. And this year was no different. There was one good set, and I'm just really glad I got to see that. It was tough, though, like driving. Like, I had to pee really bad going up there. And then on the way back, I was, like, literally starving to death. So both trips were just completely miserable.
Ugh,
that sucks. Did you forget to pack your Soylent? What happened? You could always pull over.
Well, no, I was going to, like, enjoy myself, sit down, go get something to eat at Simsy's, you know, and then come back, you know, and, like.
What's Simsy's?
It's right next to Shoney's.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bobby, you can't. Never mind. Bobby, you should get an adapter for yourself so you can plug yourself into the USB drive.
Oh, my gosh.
I almost peed in a Soylent bottle. I'm like, fuck it.
Are you serious?
Soylent bottle.
Why wouldn't you do it? I do that shit all the time, dude.
You can pee, okay, a large Rockstar can, you know, like the big ones, not these ones.
Like the 60 twist
fluid
off can?
Like the 24 fluid ounces is the perfect container size.
As a big hole.
Yeah, like I've had to pee so many times.
Still not big enough, though, hey, right? Huh?
That'll hold a full bladder. Like my bladder is literally one of those Rockstar cans, one of the large ones. So, yeah, I would have needed
your tank, you mean.
That's why you ended up a teacher. I think all teachers naturally gravitate. They're not because they want to teach, just because they have giant bladders and they never go to the bathroom.
I don't mind pulling over to use the restroom. I don't mind taking those pit stops because sitting that long for it just makes me cramp out. I'll lose complete feeling in my lower body. And so getting out of the car, walking around, taking a piss, that's the only thing that helps. Yeah.
I was on a tight schedule.
Oh, that's true.
He had to leave Heroes of the Storm to go play Heroes of the Storm. Do you guys understand what the fuck we're talking about around here?
That's funny.
Jesus.
You got to make sacrifices.
So I played more City of Brass. This is the roguelite. I'm starting to learn that it's the roguelike.
And you know what's funny? Every time you stream a game, you keep the title, I suck.
Oh, yeah, I suck at most things, so. Especially early on.
Do you really suck at City of Brass, though?
It's hard. It's really, really hard.
Okay.
But what helped was when you stream this game, I've seen games that do this, they incorporate Twitch into the game. So they can throw hashtags out there and they could either help you or hurt you. They could heal you. They could throw monsters at you. They can, spawn items for you. They can spawn traps for you, and traps are like the worst thing ever. And like, so all kinds of shit. And it's just not like a random bad guy. They can throw level 1, 2, or 3 at you. And level 3 is like a mini boss. Just randomly, every 60 seconds, they could do one of these things. And so people were really helping me out because this game's so hard and like healing me. But then all of a sudden, I'd have like a frost witch that I had to fight after out of nowhere.
Don't you have nice viewers? I did that with Vermintide too.
Yeah.
And they fucked me every time.
Yep.
Like I couldn't get more than 10 minutes into the game because they're just like, hey, let's see how much we can fuck
Minnie. That's hilarious.
That's what I would expect from Twitch chat or just...
I mean, like random Twitch chat. These are like my fans, my viewers. You know, these are people that I know. And
well, you just call them your fans, which made them not your fans anymore, which means you're going to get shit on even more now.
Point is, they fucked me.
I just want to see you in torment. It's another reason why your audience loves watching you, loves to watch you play horror games.
Yeah, that's it. They don't give a shit about me.
It really made the game more enjoyable because of the interaction. I felt like I wasn't, like I had
playing
a team.
The game alone.
I had a mm-hmm. team of friends like helping me out. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I felt like I was cheating because the healing mechanic is nowhere near what they intended for this game. Like, this game is brutal and they were able to heal me half a heart every 60 seconds, which is which is pretty good. I mean, I don't know how to put that, contextualize that for you, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
And so
and if you don't have an audience, just alt tab and pop in a hashtag.
Yeah.
Right. So last week when you talked about this game, you hadn't played that much.
No. So you can't unlock things for subsequent runs.
Really? There's
progression only in like things that you might be able to buy at the store. Like you're unlocking things that you could purchase, I think. And that's it. You know what I mean? Like,
so you have no advantage. Like, there's
pretty much no advantage. No
advantage.
The only advantage you're going to get from playing a lot is actual skill.
So it's just roguelike then. Straight
yeah.
Up. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's fun, but, I've been playing, Sea of Thieves is what I played all day yesterday. I played it for like 5 hours. I played with, Mr. F and Sweet, Admiral Beef, and a little bit of Fastidious. We were playing three-player for a long time, just kind of like three idiots trying to go around on this goddamn...
How many people can you get
I think
on
it's
your
four.
Group?
Yeah.
So you're just... Four.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I know you invited me to play, but I was in a very much single-player mood yesterday.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have been
I invited everybody. I'm
you
like,
could tell,
it's free
I'm so
if
tired.
You haven't done the thing. So, we were having a great time. Sea of Thieves is fucking fantastic. I'm like, I had a really good time. You're just like out on the open seas, kind of just fucking around with your friends. I wouldn't play this on my own. I'd only play this in like, I don't think I'd even play with one other person. This is a 4-player co-op like game. And if you're playing with your boys or ladies, you just go out and have a good time. And that's what we were doing for like 3-4 hours. And then Fastidious comes in.
What's the challenge?
So
sorry to interrupt. You can finish that.
So you
last
can,
sentence.
You go out and you do quests and then you, from the quest you get treasure, but you don't actually get the treasure until you turn it in. Right. So at any point during your voyages, another team might see you, sink you and take your quests. So they don't have to do the quests because they just get all the quest XP from stealing that shit from your ship.
Even
one player can climb aboard your ship and just steal the shit, like throw it in the ocean and then get it later. Like there's a bunch of things that they could do, or they could like, see like that guy's taking off with the, but we didn't see a whole lot of people. Like it's pretty rare that you see another team, but we're,
is it because the server population was low or
no, I think these are instances.
So open world.
The map is big. You know, like you're out on the open
it's
seas.
It's big and it takes forever to get anywhere.
And it just might be random that you see people or you don't see them. Like you might see them as soon as you spawn in, or you might not see them. And there's these port cities where you turn in your quests, and then you'll see people there because they're doing the same thing you are, but you don't really attack each other because there's nothing to be gained because you're turning in your quest. That's what everybody wants, right? You want it. You want their treasure, but they're already turning in their treasure. So why would you fight? So you could actually talk to them and be like, hey guys, how you guys doing? But if you would have saw them on another island, a quest island, fucking all shit, it's over. Fucking cannons, you know, and
so it's kind of like the neutral city should try.
Yeah, like that. I mean, I suppose somebody could be an asshole and just sink your ship, but they don't really gain anything and you don't lose anything. You just spawn a new ship.
What type of perks do you get from the quest rewards? Is it all cosmetic? Are you building a fort or upgrading your ship?
No. Basically, it's all cosmetic, but you can cosmetically upgrade your ship, which is cool. You can get like black sails and like cool shit like that, like real like skull and crossbones and stuff like that, and start like looking mean, you know. But really, you have no advantage over your— you'll never have a more powerful weapon than somebody else in the game.
Are there any other modes outside of this
open world?
No. Too? Okay.
And I see what people are talking about, how like
lack of content.
Yeah, in a way, but so as you level up your character level, you start getting higher level quests, and those quests, as far as I know, start becoming new things that you haven't really seen before. So we went from like going to islands and like, seven paces this way. And then you put in the shovel and you don't get anything. Second time you hear that thunk, you're like, yeah, I found it.
Old
school. Old school. And then we're doing those, and then we progressed eventually to the level 10 quest where we're going to like Skeleton Island, where a bunch of skeletons running at you until eventually there's a boss that comes out, and then you fight the boss. We attacked a small ship and it was running from us, and a fucking kraken attacked our ship.
Oh shit!
And we had to shoot the tentacles with our cannons, and we fended ourselves, and we were freaking out. And then Fastidious came in way late in the game. Like we had been playing for 4 or 5 hours at that time. And he comes up with a captain's hat, and he's got all this shit. He's put in time. I didn't know any of this. And he showed us how to run a ship. He's just like, you fucking dweebs. And he's like yelling at us.
He just came in and like, it's
the boss. He straightened out the ship.
I guess the captain hat was appropriate.
Yeah, there's a term for that. Like, I don't know, for straightening out a ship. Anyway, he was like yelling at us for doing this, but like constructive. It worked. Like he knew what he was talking about. He's like, why are you guys dropping your anchor all the time? Like, you're supposed to stop by pulling up your sails. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes so much more sense because then you're not stuck. And, like, just like all the stuff like this. All right, see you, Noober. Thanks for hanging out. I don't— because I was in this situation with friends and people that I knew and we were just fucking around, it was just immensely, like, I didn't want to stop playing.
Is there a lot of replay value, being that you already went from level 1 to level 10 quests in such a short amount of time?
I don't know, because I don't know, like, if the level 20 quests are different than the level 10 quests, or the level 30.
They do ramp up in difficulty, but only slightly.
Right, but is there new stuff that you're going to see? Like, the first time I saw a sunken ship, like, you'll just randomly see a sunken ship, and it has treasure on it. Like, there's fucking birds over here. Let's go see what's up with that. And you go over there, and you dive down, and you try to— that was super exciting. But when I saw my sixth sunken ship, then I was like, I'm glad I'm going to get the treasure, but it was just like same old thing. One thing that I can't overstate is the beauty of this game. Like, it's not going for photorealism, and that's okay. It's cartoony. But the waves, the sunset, the sky, the storms, I felt like an idiot because I do this in real life too, where I'd be like, hey, look at the sky. Like, I'm always looking at the beauty of things, and over and over, I was just mentioning how pretty this game is, especially the setting. And they had to be, because you're looking at the ocean fucking the whole time, and the sky the whole time. That's all you're— so if those two things weren't pretty, then nobody's going to play this game.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So for 14 days, you can play this for free, but I kind of feel like a lot of the people that are listening right now are just going to go on there and jump into a server randomly, play with, like, try to get your friends on board with you at the same time. So at least you get those 14 days together, because Bobby already spent his WAD. And so then I started mine. So he can't play with me unless he's going to pay $9.99. So get together with your friends first before you sign up with the thing. You can do it through the Xbox app. I hate even saying this, but you could hit the Windows key and it brings up the Xbox. You can click on the Xbox app and then from there you can start your free trial. But I do think that I'm going to pay the $10 a month because of State of Decay 2 and this. Like, this is something where you realize three of your friends are on Discord at the same time. You're like, hey, guys, Sea of Thieves. I don't think anybody that has more than an hour is going to say no, because you know you're going to have a good time.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, having fun.
Seems like it's a co-op game worth checking out for just $9.99, at least for 14 days, to see if you like it or not. That's not a bad investment in terms versus gameplay.
No, for sure, because like it's a $60 game. That's what they sell it for. So you'd have to pay for 6 months of this before you actually pay what you would have paid.
And it'll probably get old.
And it'll probably get, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly my point. Yep. But as long as they keep putting out good content, hopefully State of Decay 2 is, then they'll keep you on the hook, which is fine if they're making good content.
I wonder if there are role play servers or people attempt to role play in this game. I guess it's whatever you and your friends want to do.
I mean, you kind of do. I talked about another game. Oh, Black Wake. Bobby, do you remember how
that
like
was a lot of fun?
You're kind of forced into role playing because role playing is the most
efficient
way to run a ship.
You definitely have to captain the ship while you're a captain.
And so, same thing with this. Like, you start. Not role playing, but you're using the terminology because, 10,000 years of ship faring came to this. So you were using port and aft and like starboard and stuff. Very cool.
Cool. I was trying to role play a pirate as much as possible when I was on the pirate side.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it was really fun.
Being a dickhead. Cool. Like,
did we ever play Blackwing together, Minnie? I don't remember.
I think we did. Yeah, I think me, you, and Bobby did once.
Oh.
Yeah, I think we all played.
Fastidious was our bilge bitch, I think. I think I yelled at him to get on the bilge. Is it the bilge? What is it called?
Yeah, the bilge bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, so the bilging is more fun now. Like, in Black Wake, the bilge is just like you hold down E, and it's super boring. Now you have to actually get the bucket,
you gotta
run upstairs, throw it over the thing. And it's more, you know, because somebody might stab you while you're doing that. Oh, you can put yourself in a cannon and launch yourself. That's pretty fun, too. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a drink.
All right.
All right. So, Chi, we played some Stardew Valley multiplayer.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, finally, huh?
Yeah.
So, we actually played it. It was me, Chi, and two of my friends from the NGS team got on, and we played four-player Stardew Valley.
And we started a brand new game save.
Yep, started a whole new farm. So it was kind of fun to work through the initial part of this game.
It was so funny seeing how naturally our roles kind of came together in that game. So tell the podcast, Bobby, how to set up multiplayer in Stardew.
Well, you have to opt into the beta. You like right-click on the game in Steam, go to properties, and there's a place where you can enter a code. It's all laid out on the Steam page. You can figure it out from there. It's pretty easy to do. It was very easy to start a game, invite people to it. You can just have them join from your friends list, set it to invite only. Like, getting the whole multiplayer set up was actually very easy, and people could come and go. Like, it was my save, and people could come and go just whenever, and then there was just another person on your farm. So I was really interested in how they were going to split up there's things you can level up in Stardew Valley. You can level up your character. You can level up your tools. And I was wondering how they were going to divide that. Like, do you all level up together? The answer to that is no. They actually leave a lot of things independent.
Yeah.
So if you have four players, it actually creates, like, you have four people in a 24-hour period who can get a lot more work done, especially if you're organized and you divide up the work. But at the same time, you have four people that need to level up their character, need to level up their tools, need to fulfill their own quests. Like, if you complete a quest, it doesn't count for everybody.
Nope.
So everyone has to do their own quest. A problem that we had was one quest was just grow parsnip and harvest it. And we grew parsnips, but someone kept harvesting all them, and nobody else was able to complete the quest because one person kept doing that, and they were just unaware that.
Well, that's what happens when all the boys run off to the mines or the dungeons. Boys will be boys, and the only person that's taking care of the farm, like doing all of the farm responsibilities, watering, harvesting, hoarding the money to herself because nobody else is bothering to look at the fields. That's what happened. But in the end, it was a lot of fun because it, like, just like you said, Bobby, four different people, four different types of play styles. And I think us dividing up the responsibilities really helped us progress a lot further. But at the same time, we were stunted in different ways through lack of communication and organization.
I mean, it was everything that I hoped for from a Stardew multiplayer game. We didn't get to the point where you start developing relationships with people, but I'm assuming each character can develop their own relationship, get married, have kids. Like, you could technically have four families.
Yeah, and you can get married to other players in co-op.
Oh, can you?
And you can compete for Bobby's love. With myself and his boyfriends, his hot boyfriends that pretend to be girls online. I don't get that, but anyways, with Stardew Valley, it was so much fun with co-op, and it's easy to set up, not just to install, but when you create a co-op game, you decide, of course, which type of farm you want to start on and how many cabins you want to set up. So Bobby, of course, put three cabins in, which allowed us to play up to the four-player co-op. Mm-hmm. It was interesting for me because my cabin, what I did, I picked the cabin furthest away from everybody else, and I crafted a fence, and I segregated my cabin from everybody else's farm. So it was kind of a, no boys allowed, these are my crops, you can't touch them. And so even though we were all, the money was all shared, different elements of the game, as long as you respected certain social rules, it was almost like playing an individual game itself, since the quests are individual and your relationships with the villagers are individual. So as much as this is a co-op game, you could virtually play by yourself with somebody else. And I invited Newber to play Stardew with me, and he's never played Stardew before. And we, and in that game, instead of trying to separate myself and steal all of his crops, I was just trying to help him along, since he'd never played the game before, too. So it was a lot of fun. And just like any co-op experience, it all depends on who you're playing with. But outside of that, whether you've never played it before or you're an experienced player playing co-op Stardew, it's a really good way to play any co-op.
And this is still in beta, right?
It is in beta, but it's pretty...
The co-op is in beta, yeah.
It's pretty smooth.
Would you like things that like would force you guys to do things together? To happen,
I think there's
in this game.
It leaves that choice up to you. Yeah. There's plenty of freedom in this game, so I like how they have it.
So really, neat lets the personalities come out, right? Like she wants to be by herself, and all the boys are super cooperative and logical. Makes sense.
No, they're just going off and fighting monsters, and I'm staying at the house, the farm, managing all their crops. And
as things should be, goddamn
it. And I was so OCD. I was really upset actually taking care of your guys' crops because you guys, and I know this is actually an issue.
We had two people on crops.
Barely. Who was trying to help me water the plants? But then the way you guys set up the farm, like all the crops, there were random... It was scattered. There weren't 3x3 tiles. I was going super OCD with this game.
OCD.
Yeah, I really am.
We just shared a very... Minnie and I just shared a very knowing look.
That's why I needed my very own private farm. Yeah, I was in charge of scaring off the crows. So I had the highest farming level. I was like two levels higher.
Farming level, and you're like, and we're like waiting to get that so we can build a scarecrow. So
I can
stop eating our crops.
I can imagine just Chi having like the highest farm level and just like, nope, I'm in charge of the farm. Don't touch it. This is mine now.
Chi, I saw that there was a stump. How hard are those to get rid of?
You just have to level up the axe once or twice. And
that's 2,000 gold, which is a sizable amount. And it's probably not worth it to do it very early.
I wanted to know if the word stumped came from finding a stump in your field. Because if all you had was a burrow and a fucking axe, like how do you... Stumps are really hard to get rid of. Yeah. Does anybody know? Huh. Can somebody find out the origin of stumped? Thank you.
Being stumped as in not knowing what else to do.
No, being stumped means that you're stuck. You cannot progress any further.
Exactly what I just said, not knowing what else to do, like how to.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you meant it was not an information thing. Anyway, moving on. Trash dump.
Well, don't forget to try out Stardew Valley Co-op if you're a Stardew Valley fan at all. I originally played Stardew Valley and felt like I got everything out of the game within the first year. But now with co-op, it makes me want to completely restart the game over again and just re-experience it.
You looked so into it, dude.
I was having like, a good time.
What is it?
I was role-playing in that game, too.
What is it? Movements per minute? What is it? Or actions per APM?
Oh.
Your eyes are like darting around and you're like... it was cool to watch. Like, you're so into these farming things.
I really am.
This really...
Hey, G, make a farm, maybe.
No, and everyone's telling me I need to be a real-life farmer. I'm like, hell the fuck no.
It's so hard.
The reason why I was like, in real life, all I want to do is sit on my ass and play video games.
Yeah.
You know, instead of experience the real thing, so... Yeah.
I think this game, like, illustrates really well how...
I would love to do a VR farming game. Maybe I'll make the first VR Harvest Moon game.
Wouldn't you just make a farm at that point?
Yeah. She's like,
yeah, but
she's like actually digging in her.
You can't woo 10 boys in real life and get away with it. You just can't like share all the villagers. No,
but this game really illustrates how diverse games can be and how it can just really appeal to different people. Because this looks like the worst fucking game in the world.
I would never play this.
Just based on graphics alone?
What's great about co-op is that certain mods work in co-op. Mm-hmm. And at first I was really annoyed. I didn't even want to talk to the villagers because I don't like their portraits. But I got the portrait mod to work and now I'm all into it. Now that the characters are cute.
Oh, can you mod multiplayer?
That's true. Yes.
Is that what you were just saying? Yeah. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
But if you use something to change the way your game looks, it's not going to change it for everybody.
No, right. People won't see it. It's only strictly in your game, which is what I really like.
No, Bobby, I would never play like a farming sim. I don't see...
It's very similar to Sea of Thieves.
Amelia,
like, it's kind
you
of
have
a laid
play
back,
with
play with your friends.
We should have a DLG
relaxed environment type of game.
Okay, Manny's not invited.
Nope.
No.
You're not into it?
It's just like this game, it looks like 100% side quest.
No.
Yeah, Bobby,
so much more than that.
It's a simulation.
It's a resource manager more than anything else.
Yeah, it's more of a simulation game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Sim Farm.
Like there's no end game though, right? Like nothing.
No, there's a story.
You could let all your crops die and nothing would, it wouldn't really change.
Yeah,
much,
you'd
right?
just be broke and you'd be wasting your time.
Yeah, there wouldn't really be anything going on.
Okay.
No, because there's certain objectives the game lays out for you. People you have to talk to, relationships that you have to develop, things you have to do.
And there is a main storyline in this game.
And then you get a little bit of the story each time. So, you know, especially when I left off in my single player game, like I'm really kind of, I wanted to continue it because I wanted to see where the story was going and what was going to happen in this town. I mean, it starts out the whole idea of this game is
Walmart
you're a guy.
Walmart comes into town, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. You're this guy who works for a company, Jojo Mart.
Jojo
Mart. You work for this big corporation. You're fed up with it. You inherit your grandfather's farm, and then you go there, rebuild it, and kind of rediscover the simple life, you know, the peaceful life, all natural, kind of a hippie vibe going on. And then Jojo Mart moves into the town and is kind of trying to take it over. So, you know, it's got some things at play there. This isn't just a straight-up simulation game. Like, there's things happening. It's a great game.
Well, I'm sure it's a good game, but...
It obviously is, but it's just not for us. Like we're saying,
Well, how do you know unless you try it?
Because of what it is.
I can see.
Because of what it is.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
See how we explained that out and we...
Well, you're not invited to our farm anyways.
All right. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but I wanted to bring it up again and show you guys. So the Steam Trash Dump, I've been using this so much. This is a bot that somebody had set up. If you just search Steam Trash Dump, it comes right up. So this is a bot where you can send them a trade offer and get rid of anything in your inventory. There's things that you can't get rid of, like coupons, they have to expire, or even just in-game items, like for games that don't even exist anymore. I've unloaded so much crap on this thing recently.
And what's it turn it into again? You could just take whatever you want?
Yeah, it goes into the inventory of this profile, and then you can send a trade if you want to get something from it. Like, it's free, but there's usually just a bunch of crap there. Like, even if I click on his inventory here, then you can see, like, Team Fortress 2 items, about 3,000 coupons.
Okay, so basically you're just throwing things away, and you're not...
Mm-hmm. You're just trying to get them out of your inventory.
But you're not pulling anything out.
You can if you want.
But you are not.
No, I personally, okay. I have no use for this. But if you want 66% off of below zero.
50% off Sniper Elite. That's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, there's some deals in here. 75%.
I'm confused. Is it 66% below zero? Do they give you 60%? Okay, never mind. That that's it.
All right. I played a good game this week. It's called Dark Forces 2, Jedi.
Oh, my goodness.
I was watching him play this, and I was like, this is dog shit.
Oh, you were playing this before we started playing Stardew.
Didn't you just play this last year, though?
I might have. Yeah, I played this game a lot.
I mean, but I thought you only played like once.
You're new around here, Mini.
Hush up, boy.
No, see, I know you play this game a lot, but I thought you only played like once every 3 or 4 years, though, not...
It might have, I think 2015, 2016 was the last time I played. Okay. But this is the first time I beat the game on hard, I think. And I also was a Dark Jedi this time. I went down the Dark Path, which has a different storyline. And
you never had before?
I must have at some point in my life. Maybe not completely beat the game on it. So those were two things that were different. I streamed it right up until like beating the final boss, which is great. I think I'm going to stream more old games because I get the highest numbers when I stream like retro shit. And especially games like this that are like single player campaign games, like I'm talking to the chat a lot more. I'm a lot more interactive. So
they love in Twitch.
Oh, yeah. Bobby was talking like mad, like 80s culture, like. Not really about the game. It's just like Star Wars in general and stuff. And I was like,
Well, I'm also doing this thing where I'm watching all the Star Wars movies in a row, like consecutively.
Where'd you start?
Phantom Menace. There's a few different ways that people suggest you should watch it, but I'm just going to do it chronologically, like according to the Star Wars timeline.
I've never seen those movies.
I don't think the last time I saw A New Hope, I told myself I'd never watch that movie again. It's rough,
especially if you watch A New Hope right next to Empire Strikes Back. You can totally tell they were like, all right, Lucas, you're creative, you're visionary, great, but you can't fucking direct, dude. Get the fuck out. Let's bring in someone who knows what they're doing, and we're going to take all your ideas. And it actually worked out. I mean, Empire Strikes Back is my favorite Star Wars movie.
Those are the
three movies
I missed, though. The original trilogy I've seen, but I haven't seen the other three.
Yeah.
So
None of them.
People told me it wasn't worth watching, and I like Star Wars, but I wouldn't consider myself a Star Wars fan.
And I think one and three are worth watching. I didn't think two was that bad, but I don't know.
Honestly, don't even recall two. I know I've seen it multiple times, but I can't.
We're talking about the prequels?
Yeah, the prequels.
Yeah. Well, I just finished watching Phantom Menace, and... Man, I don't even want to get into it because I would talk way too long on that. Like
I like the pod racing personally.
The pod race was good. Yeah. After watching it again and seeing it, I've watched that movie so many times, but it's been a while. And the pod racing scene holds up. Does well. Yeah. Saber battle is great on that one too.
The saber battle and the general battle in the field was in.
Yeah, with the Gungans.
It could have been
the Trade Federation.
Could have been better. It was a little too goofy.
Well, the problem is you've got. See, I said I wasn't going to get into it. Now we're getting into it. The problem with that, one of the problems, is you got four things going on at the same time. You got the saber battle. You got the Gungan and Trade Federation ground battle. You've got Anakin up in space doing who the fuck cares, like just in a cockpit doing a bunch of reaction shots. The worst line in the whole movie. Now that's what I call pod racing. Is in that scene. Like it's just cringy as fuck. They could have done without it. And then you also have Amidala and Panaka. With the Naboo officials trying to get to the Trade Federation officials, like going into the palace. Like, you've got four stories going on at the same time, and they cut back and forth between each one. It's just too much. Jedi did this, but only with three. They had, you know, Luke confronting his dad in front of the Emperor on the Death Star. They had Han Solo and Leia on the ground with the Ewoks fighting that battle. And they had Lando with Pancake Face up in the space battle trying to blow up the Death Star. And that one kind of worked, and they were just much more simpler. Like, when I watched Phantom Menace, I'm like, this is like a kid's movie with Anakin combined with, like, a political drama with the Emperor. Like, and they just don't fit at all. Plus, Anakin doesn't come in until halfway through the movie. He should have been much more of an ancillary character. It should have been about Obi-Wan Kenobi. All right.
I do have to say that I did like how they explained the Emperor's rise to power. Like, how he was playing both sides.
Yeah.
I mean, that was... awesome, but it didn't all come out in The Phantom Menace. But I thought that part of it was brilliant.
Yeah, and they couldn't have done that without the political drama. So it's tough. Like, it's not a bad movie. It's just a bad Star Wars movie. Like, the movie's actually not terrible. It's just, I don't know.
Natalie Portman's never looked hotter than between...
She is amazing, yeah.
One and two.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Two is when they fight. She has that, right? The, in the, like...
The white...
Gladiator.
Yeah, that was two. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Jedi Knight, had a hell of a lot of fun streaming that game, playing that game. I think, you know, my European buddy, Willie, he hooks it up with the games from time to time, and he sent me a fucking gem. You can't get this game on Steam anymore. It's called, well, it's Prey, the 2006 version.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He sent me that one, so that might be the next old game that I stream.
Interesting.
We'll see. Either that, or I'm thinking of going back to, like, Quake 1.
That game was weird. Prey?
The first one?
Yeah.
A buddy of mine like told me about that at the time it came out. And he's like, you got to check this game out. It's great. And I watched him play it for a little bit. I'm like, oh, yeah, that seems pretty cool. But that's like all I know about that game. Like, I'm going into it totally blind, which I think will be a good experience. But, yeah.
I don't want to give anything away.
I've been talking about like Netflix shows that I've been watching. And the last thing that I binge was Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Oh, the new one?
The new one, yeah. Because I liked the first one so much. And then so I was like, no way that these new fantastic or fabulous five are gonna compare to the old guys, and I started watching. I was hooked immediately.
So, like the kind of metrosexual thing kind of died out in the late 2000s. Uh-huh. So how are they doing it now?
They're going not so much for. They're just like bringing these dudes up, these losers, okay. And they're just kind of like boosting their self-esteem,
right.
And it's working. Whoever did the casting for the. For the losers, like, did a really good job. Because, like, all of them were, like, a few steps below from actually blossoming.
So they have potential, but they're still kind of...
Absolutely. Okay. And what I thought was weird was one of the episodes, the guy was gay. So it was like, kind of like Queer Eye for the queer guy. But he was, like, a real dorky queer guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, loved it. Check it out. If, I don't know, I kind of like some reality shows. I like that one.
Yeah, well, speaking of... Like Netflix series. It's not a Netflix series, but The Expanse.
It got canceled.
It got canceled.
But then it got picked up. And
I haven't heard of it getting picked up yet, but it should get picked up.
Yeah. And then Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I never watched it. It got canceled, but it also got picked up too.
Picked up again, yeah. Mm-hmm. Never watched that show, but I think I've seen a couple
episodes. I watched the first season or two. That was a good show.
Yeah.
I mean, it had.
I can't do sitcoms, man. It's too. It's not how people talk in real life, so it loses me right away.
I just finished Scrubs. For like the third time last week.
What do you mean the third time? You watched the entire series the third time? Jeez.
Yeah.
So this is a kind of funny story. So Chad, we would always go out and just try to meet chicks all the time. So he's talking to some chick, some Asian girl, and she's like,
That's not his current fiance.
That's not her. No.
Does Chad have a thing for Asian girls?
Kinda. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't?
White boys.
Yeah.
Oh, who doesn't?
Yeah.
I love my white boys.
So he goes,
to say.
Oh, what's hilarious is all of Chad's fiance's girlfriends kind of look like her, and all of their boyfriends look like Chad.
That is so funny.
Like all like seven white guys, seven Filipino girls. Like just that's their parties. That's how he rocks out now. But anyway, where was I? Oh, so he's talking to this girl, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I just finished pre-med." And he jumped the gun and he goes, "Oh, so you're doing your residency?" And she goes, "Oh, are you in the medical field?" He goes, "No, I watch Scrubs." And by the way, I know a doctor, and she said that the most accurate depiction of the medical field is Scrubs on TV.
Yeah,
like way more than Griggs.
And I would say that because Scrubs doesn't go into anything like medical doctor. Heavy. Like they just right. like if there is
it's
a
more
disease,
about the interpersonal
they don't really like talk about how they're going to cure a disease. They're just like, oh, give them a drug, and but it's more about like how you said about mm-hmm. how they interact with each other, how the
Scrubs is great. I wouldn't watch it
runs.
Three times over, but yeah, Scrubs is
great. It's a little weird, man.
I watch it when I go to sleep. Like I just have it on. It's not like I'm sitting there staring at it, but like as I go to sleep, I just put that on.
Yeah.
Speaking of watching, one game that I played. By the way, guys, I'm back on Twitch.
She's actually streaming for now. It looks good.
I am streaming, and I definitely worked really hard on my green screen. It was a struggle. I had to install three different lights before I could get my green screen to work. But I'm really happy with the quality. My skin is much lighter on my personal stream versus the DigitalLogic stream because that's how much light I need in order for that green screen
to work.
For
you to look white. No, we get it.
Outside of that, though, I have been playing. I started with Stardew. I played a little bit of my time at Portia, and then the brand new game. I wanted to get into a single player game, not one that I've played before that I might eventually drop and not be. I wanted to pick up a game that I knew I was going to be. So I had zero Escape, the Nonary games, in my account, which is actually a collection of two games, 999 and the sequel to that. I forget the title for it, but it is actually a DS title converted over to Steam. And what this game is, it is a visual novel with heavy puzzle and consequential elements to it.
A $45 visual novel?
That's how much it costs?
I think so. That's why I saw
somebody give the Nonary games. You said that was a combination of two, but yeah, $44.99.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
Did somebody gift it to you? Did you buy it?
I believe it was a gift to me. I will figure out who gifted it to me. But
I will say I like the art style.
It is, and outside of the art style, it has amazing voiceovers and voice lines. And I wouldn't say the characters are really interesting, but they do have a lot of relevant things to say. So the situation of the game, how it starts out, you're Junpei and you were kidnapped and you wake up in a very small room and the door is locked and there's a giant number on the door. So the game is called 999 for, I believe, 9 hours, nine people, nine persons, nine doors. And you are one of nine people who get kidnapped, and it's basically Saw on a boat.
I was about to say Saw. Are you randomly one of these nine people every time you play, or are you always the same
person?
You're
Junpei. The main character.
Okay.
And you, of course, get to learn about the other characters in the game. Different decisions lead to different consequences.
Is there a jigsaw? Is there like somebody controlling the game?
And the jigsaw, his name is Zero, and he's this dude in a gas mask that physically kidnapped you.
Zero's controlling the 999.
Yes, Zero sets up everything, and it's a really good
game
so far because it's also very challenging. I spent 45 minutes in the very first room, and it was so frustrating, and I'm so glad I didn't rage quit. To be honest, my Twitch chat helped me out, but it's one of those, it's almost like a point and click adventure. You could strictly play the game with a cursor, but there are hotkeys for the keyboard, or if you want to plug in a controller, you can use that too. And the first room is probably the hardest room in the entire game.
Oh, did it get easier? It's
because
weird when that happens.
They literally throw you in the game. You wake up from being unconscious, and they don't put you through a tutorial. You just have to click around, and things that you didn't think you could click on, you can click on, and you can miss out on clues. It took me so long to get through the game, not because I was struggling how to piece the clues together, but I was missing a clue, and
it didn't
let me know that I was missing a clue, or it was hard to even tell that there was something missing. Well, that's the thing. I was only in one room.
Oh.
So how many different things can you click in one room?
Yeah.
So it is a lot of fun. And the fact that the voiceover makes you feel like you're watching the game, when one of the people in my Twitch audience, I think it was Shadow Master, actually mentioned that this reminded him of an FMV because of the fluidity of how the game played out with all the voice chat with the voiceovers. But it's a really great game so far. The reason why I got into this game is because on DS, I was really big into Phoenix Wright. Professor Layton was a lot of fun. There's another game that is similar to it, but I don't know the title. It was like Damanga Gadanda, something like that. And I'm into visual novels, not a lot, but this is one that's definitely higher ranking. So that's why I'm going to finish it.
Cool. I hope you survive. But I'll tell you what, if I was Jigsaw and you took 45 minutes in the first room, I would have just flooded the room with fucking acid.
The room was flooding. There acid. Was so
oh,
many
was it really?
Yes. Literally, the room was flooding. And I was like, how have I not drowned yet?
Yeah.
It was so bad. Trust me, though, but it's like, I'm pretty sure other people who have played this game probably have the same experience with the first room. The puzzles themselves aren't hard. If you're good at math, you'll be good at this game. But I just couldn't. I didn't know I was missing a clue. So
I once accidentally played a visual novel game, and it was on the PS Vita.
Was it like a hentai one?
No, it was accidental. That would have been on purpose if it was hentai. But yeah, it was on that PS Plus I was talking about where they gave the game to me for free.
Okay.
And like most games like this, I have just have like words on the screen. I just click past it. So I'm clicking, clicking, clicking for like 10 minutes.
Oh, right.
And
that's a visual novel.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And then like at the end, it gave me an achievement, like end of the road or something that's like obvious that it was
the You finished the game?
Yeah, and I'm like, the fuck just happened? And that's actually when I uninstalled my PS Plus, because if they're going to be giving me games like that where I just don't do anything but hit X, I'm done.
Oh, man.
Nope.
Like I said, there's many visual novels out there, and I don't normally play a lot of them, but this is just one of the quality ones.
More interactive.
Just like there are so many different first-person shooter games, so many different, like...
I think there's anyone out there who speed runs visual novels.
I did.
right here.
No, this is more of an immersive experience. It's like watching a video game, so that's... But there is challenge to it. You have to leave no rock unturned, so that's why I like it.
So what I said before was untrue when I said Stardew was the worst game for me. This is the new worst thing for me.
Yeah, but there's titties. Shiny.
There are titties.
Gypsy titties.
I mean, I mean, it's just a tease, though. I'm not seeing nip. It doesn't do anything for me.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to play the Sekiro games then?
Oh, yeah. Senran Kagura? Is that the ones?
I don't know what you just said.
I don't know about those, buddy.
I don't think that's a... They're on Steam. Like Sakura Spirit.
Oh. Sakura?
Sakura.
Yeah.
That's how you say
it. Cherry Blossom.
Also like the American way, Sakura.
All right, moving on.
All right, yeah.
We played some games after this podcast last week.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah. For the King.
Full Metal Furies.
Oh, okay. Full Metal Furies, I covered maybe 3 weeks ago, but what was your take on it?
It was fun. It was a lot more difficult than I thought, and I was sad that that Sam was better than me.
Well, she had played the game before.
She's not a gamer, though.
She's surprisingly good at stuff.
Yeah, surprisingly good, because I'm like a lifetime gamer. She's just like a casual sometimes handle a controller gamer.
Yeah. It's funny because I try to mansplain, and then she'll start playing things better than I do. She's actually really smart. She just doesn't look like it.
Women are very intuitive.
And anyway, so to recap, it's a side-scroller beat-em-up where you have different classes. But they did a really good job of like integrating unlocks with leveling up, with tech tree, with interplay between the classes, because you can't have two engineers. You have to have a mix. And then you get into these situations where the engineer can't do any damage and the sniper has to do the damage. And so you have to talk to each other. Hey, I have a yellow shielded guy over here. And so you'll have to talk to each other.
Yeah.
I wish if we were playing a game online, I'd like to play that dwarf game with you guys, and I really like to play this with you guys.
Yeah, Full Metal Furies. Does this one have online co-op?
I'll play with you if you play Stardew with me.
Nope.
$20.
Want it
we
got to
meet in the middle here.
When I said you guys, I meant these guys. No, I'm kidding.
So $20 for Full Metal Furies.
Yeah. I would say from the 4 hours that I've played, I'd say it's worth it. But I haven't seen if the later content is as good as the
worth it
content.
With a friend. You haven't played this alone yet.
You want to play this with a friend.
Yeah.
For the King, me and Chad, I had covered this. And for some reason, I remember was Sam ever on an episode, Bobby?
Yeah, way back when.
Yeah, she talked about this game because we had played this game together, all three of us. And so she talked about this game. And so she knew this game already, but Minnie, it was new to you. This is an old school RPG with these really like blocky 3D like graphics, polygonal. Thank you, but done awesomely. Like it looks really cool the way they pulled off these polygons, heavy giant polygons, but they look great. You tell me what you feel.
This game, it was really slow, but the combat was really satisfying.
But there wasn't enough of it.
There probably wasn't enough combat to keep much entertainment, but it was satisfying.
Well, the thing that's going on here is, like, I understood the game the first time I played it, because I played so much of it.
Yeah.
But I forgot how it works, because it has a very weird mechanic. It's kind of like you're playing on it's a board game, and you're rolling dice every time.
Yes.
And then you have this, like, willpower where you can make your die roll better.
Potentially better.
Potentially better.
Yeah.
But you can use that in combat or on the map or like basically anything that happens, you can improve your chances. But that's also another trait. And then I don't think it's really optimized very well for controllers. We had to like...
It was really weird. Like all three of our controllers were controlling everything.
The whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we would be like, we had to audibly tell the other person, hey, it's your turn. And then you stop touching your controller.
Yeah.
And if anybody touched any button at any time during another player's turn, it would just fuck up their turn.
Yeah, it would just register as I'm using it.
I kind of feel like you might want to play this single player. Or maybe online it'll work. That's probably what it's
online,
all about.
Yeah.
But it's a good RPG. It's a very good RPG.
The physical hits that Sam was using when she was playing a warrior, she would like physically hit somebody and they would just be smashed.
Yeah. Like, we would go like, ooh,
yeah, it just looks painful.
Fuck that dude up. Yeah. Yeah. It was really well done.
And it's up to four players?
Three, I think.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. A game that's capped at three players.
Yeah.
Actually a lot. Forced was three players. Awesome Knots 3v3. There's a couple out there.
Yep.
I know, because I've always brought that up. Like three,
but
versus four.
Not just versus, I guess.
I like three better almost, because it's way easier to get three people good together than four. Like four is exponentially harder to get four people together than
or
three.
Four isn't enough when everybody wants to be in your squad. Just kidding.
It's true.
No one wants to be in my squad anymore.
All right. Should we talk some news?
Let's do it.
All right. Divinity Original Sin is getting a definitive edition and a console release.
Yeah, at the end of this year, I believe they're saying November.
That's what they did with the first one.
Oh, this is Original Sin 2.
Right.
Yeah. This is what they did with the first one, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
You got all this extra content. Everything was streamlined. They put in new this, the bells and whistles, quality of life, just made it a whole new game, and or not a whole new game, but a way better game, and you got it for free.
That's exactly, yeah. So in the first time Divinity Original Sin came out, you got the original one if you bought it early enough, and then you get like the enhanced edition for free if you had already purchased it. They're coming out with the same thing for Divinity Original Sin 2 as the console release.
And it plays so well with a controller.
Yeah.
Definitely. I imagine the console port is going to be a flawless addition.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be just like the first one. The UI is not going to change much.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do Nexomania next, Bobby?
Oh, you don't want to miss that one. All right. Cliff Bleszinski closes Boss Key Productions. So, I don't know. We kind of saw this one coming, right?
No.
No? Really?
I mean, I haven't really read much about Cliff doing anything other than making Radical Heights, and I thought that was going to be going strong for a while.
Well, then, first of all, they made something before Radical Heights. They were working on Lawbreakers.
Yeah, which that game failed pretty epically.
Yeah, epically, no pun intended. But Cliff worked for Epic for a long time. He left that, started his own studio. They were saying they were working on this game. I can't even remember what the code name of it was, but they were talking about it for a long time and really building it up. You know, Cliff Bleszinski's production studio, new project's going to be big. We played it. We played Lawbreakers in the open beta. I remember when we played it, my exact quote was, it's a good game. Too bad no one's going to play it. It wasn't going to be a hit. You know, the trend in gaming was going a completely different direction. And you can never predict that. What's really interesting to me about this whole situation with Cliff Bleszinski is video games are not like movies. I mean, in so many ways, but particularly this. Like a movie, you can get a really good director. You can get great actors. You can get all the right people with a good script, and you can make a good movie.
Yeah.
With a video game, there is so much that is just left to the will of the people and their whimsy and whatever they find entertaining. You know, like Fortnite or PUBG, like these games that just kind of come out of nowhere. I mean, Fortnite was a bit of a copycat, but, you know, it's just we never know what's going to be the next big thing or what is guaranteed success. With movies, you can pay for all the right people and you can make a great movie. Like, you can buy a good movie. Producers do it all the time. With video games, you can't guarantee your video game is going to be a success, unless it's a sequel. If it's a sequel, then yeah.
Well, that kind of holds true with Destiny 2, because they had a lot of good voice actors in that. They had like a solid fan base, and that game still just kind of after a month died.
But it was a commercial success.
Not only that, though, there are so many different types of trends that video games are, that possess.
Right.
And of course, Battle Royale being the biggest trend currently. And then with Radical Heights, and I remember bringing that up before, it was like a free-to-play. Even though Battle Royale is free-to-play, this actually felt like a free-to-play version of Battle Royale. Oh. And so it seemed outdated, even though it...
Radical Heist did?
Yeah.
I haven't played it.
Mm-hmm. So it seemed very outdated because people had already taken this genre and fine-tuned it into something that sets a new bar of expectation.
It seemed late to the game. And it did not meet it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, and so that's
exactly
Fortnite,
what the title.
But Fortnite was free-to-play.
This article.
So when you do Fortnite free-to-play, cartoony graphics, that appeals to such a younger demographic. That's what really made them successful, yeah. I believe.
And not just that, but they're taking chances and they're springboarding. I've talked about this before. They are already a successful company. They know how to make money. They just shot past. They started behind PUBG and just shot past them. This is in the news, but I'll talk about it now. This week, they put Thanos in the game.
Yeah.
Like...
mm-hmm. Well, they're doing anything that they... I feel like they're willing to take more chances than PUBG.
Because you have this goofy world. You could do goofy things in a goofy world, and everybody's like, cool, more goofy.
Yeah, it's just
and if it doesn't work, you just pull it.
Yeah. All those emotes and customization.
But what I was saying earlier, I feel like it's really hard to manufacture that. I mean, they... Mm-hmm. Fortnite, even though it looks like they were a copycat, they did what I believe are two big things. They made it appeal to a younger demographic and they made it free to play. And those were the reasons that I think it was so successful. But other than that example, I can't think of other than that in sequels, I can't think of how you can just, because I mean, this is Cliff Bleszinski, obviously a big deal, but it, just because he has his name attached to a project, like it doesn't really do anything for you.
So yeah, you're right. A lot of people don't like him just right out of the box.
So when we sat down here, that earlier, and I kind of understand that because he really played up the role of the big shot video game developer. He's like, I'm successful. I'm going to get a really hot wife and a really fast car and buy a bunch of really expensive shit. I'm going to live this glamorous lifestyle and I'm going to be very flashy about it. And so I think that rubbed some people the wrong way. They kind of felt like this guy really isn't one of us.
Why shouldn't video game devs be rock stars though? If I'm not defending him, but I'm just saying, let's say if Lord Gaben fucking actually lived the life and was like ripped and shit and fucking like, you know, lived that kind of like crazy rock star life, would we like Steam less? Would people like Steam less? Would Steam make less money because he actually showed the money that he was spending? You know what I mean?
I don't know. A question for Chi, because Chi, you're like a big fan of Gaben, right?
What would you think if he was like
him and his personal life and everything else? I admire him because of what he creates for gamers, not necessarily what he, you know, how he leads his own lifestyle. That's not important to me. It's more about what type of, you know, like the community and everything else. What he's done for the gaming community versus what he does for himself. I wouldn't be one to judge, but that's myself, my own opinion, being that I'm not very opinionated when it comes to
personal life,
actors or celebrities or gaming, like
that's
people
disturbing.
Behind
Bobby,
the game.
Stop it. He just put a gigantic headshot
of Cliff.
Yeah.
Of Cliff.
If you could be the biggest douche on the planet, but if you made...
He's got fuzzy ears, man.
If you made Left 4 Dead, if you made PUBG, and I enjoyed, you know, countless hours of the video game that you have, and oh my gosh.
I'll continue.
That is so distracting.
Yeah, Bobby's zooming in on Cliff's...
What a great TV we got.
On his mouth.
His lips kind of look like yours, Bobby.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just noticing that.
I think today is the first day I ever really paid attention to Bobby's lips. He has like a thinner upper lip.
Well, yeah, Cliff's.
And then a thicker bottom lip.
Well, Cliff's.
Well, like most people, but it's like noticeable.
Is bigger. His bottom lip is definitely bigger than Bobby's.
Yeah, I don't think my bottom lip.
Oh, yeah, his bottom lip.
What are we talking about? What's going on here?
I don't know. We're comparing lips.
Let me try to glue this boat back together.
But you know, I understand what you're saying about like the personalities of like creators. Like if you look at like Hayao Miyazaki, the Nintendo guy, like everybody loves him because he's just like a personable guy and he just seems like a normal person.
And he's into what he's passionate about, what he
really
does.
Not only that, and he's the guy behind Nintendo. I mean, look at all this shit he's you know, brought into like our world.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. So he's awesome for that outside of his own personality. Yeah,
he doesn't take himself seriously.
Actually, and here's another thing. What producer like takes headshots? I don't think most of them like take headshots. No. He literally went somewhere and took headshots. Mm. And somebody picked this one.
Yeah. Well, Mayo posted the letter, his letter in Discord, and he was basically explaining that he's just going to take a break from developing games. He said his Aussie is dying. I'm assuming that's a dog.
Yeah, Aussie Shepherd.
Okay.
Is that what you have?
No, Australian cattle dog. Very similar, though.
Okay. Mm.
So he's just going to take some time off. He's made a ton of money. He doesn't need to work. But, yeah.
Although he probably lost his ass on this, dude. He probably lost a lot of money.
A lot of other people's money, maybe. Oh. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
who knows? I don't know. Don't know the situation. Yeah, it's not good, but oh well.
Hey, Captain. Fastidious just showed up.
All right.
He's going to run this ship. Don't worry. He'll save us all.
Okay, some big news that broke this week. A new Steam app will let you stream games to tablets, TVs, tablets and TVs and phones without a Steam link.
But a big caveat, you have to be on the same Wi-Fi network in order to play this. So don't think that you're going to... Yeah, but don't think you're going to be playing like fucking, I don't know, Half-Life 2 at the airport. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, no, no.
So this why wouldn't you just walk over to your computer? This is not big news.
This is kind of what I was doing.
Well, it replaces the Steam link.
Outside of the
hardware.
Well, it's cool because it's to tablets and TVs. I could, if it runs as flawlessly as the streaming does, which is what I do when I'm on my laptop, then I would be all about it. I would love to try this out. I will be trying this out.
Well, there's
even though I have a
Steam I guess
link.
I kind of get So it replaces.
I also
the
have
Steam
really
link.
Good internet though.
I mean, if you got a place as small as mine, it's not as not a big deal. But if you're in a bigger house, then you can basically share your. It's like when you watch Netflix. You load the Netflix app up on your smart TV or your phone or your iPad, and you just watch Netflix there. Mm-hmm. You will need 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi for this to work. And you will need a controller. I don't know if they have touch support just yet.
And, but of course, a smart TV.
Yeah, so your Steam controller will work with your phone now, right? Correct? I think.
Yeah, it's going to support that. Or you can use any Bluetooth controller.
I don't know how one connects
to
the other.
That's really bad fucking ass.
Yeah.
Because outside of...
Why would you do that? Why would you pull out a controller and then play on your phone in your own house?
For me... And if anybody's been watching the stream, you can see how physically uncomfortable I've been sitting here the entire time. And I think my back has been hurting, partially due to me getting back into streaming and you know,
sitting
for longer.
Yeah, I got one of those things where you can hang upside down, like Batman.
Ooh, a teeter.
Yeah, a teeter.
Yeah.
If you want
to
take it.
I would love to.
Yeah.
Not
have it,
teeter,
but
I would love to use it.
Yeah.
But I would love that right now. But. So, for me, the only reason why
podcast over?
Switched...
Yeah, where's she? She's hanging upside down in the garage. I don't know when she'll be done.
For me, because of physical discomfort, I am open to playing games on my TV, playing games on my laptop, or if I just want to get cuddly with my boyfriend while playing a video game. So, like, you know, it's true. Come on, dude.
Are you talking about having sex?
No, no, no. Like, if he's on the couch watching a movie or something, and I want to, maybe I want to play a game.
Who's had sex
instead of having
while
my laptop
playing a video game?
Out, I could have my phone out and play my video games. I'm not adding to that question.
So,
like, Minnie can answer that.
Minnie?
For all four of us.
Sex? Yes, yes. Now I think about it. Yes, you just have.
What game?
I think World of Warcraft.
Sex in World of Warcraft, dude?
Yeah, me too. It was EverQuest.
Yeah, I mean, it's
MMOs.
Easy to play.
You can't stop playing. Yeah. You can't stop playing those MMOs.
Yeah. Hmm. So, what, did someone lay down and then you did the blood elf dance on
We're
top of them?
We're not adding to that, Chi.
So I think the TV is the biggest appeal here. The phone, maybe not so much, but the TV. Imagine every smart TV in your house now has full access to your Steam library.
I watch Netflix from my phone all the time. I'll lay down in bed and I'll just prop my phone up and I don't need a big screen TV.
I mean, it can work for that as well. So this comes out May 21st in beta, I believe.
Free? Do we know?
Yeah, these apps are free. What really excites me, though, this is not coming out until summer, but your videos in your Steam library will be available this way, too. So basically, any video, and I have a lot of videos. I've bought several movies and TV shows on Steam. I will be able to download those and play them offline or just be able to stream them from my phone as well. And that's coming later, I think, in June or the summer. But that, to me, is more exciting.
This is more exciting than... Because I don't play cell phone games. So why not play my Steam games on my cell phone screen in lieu of that?
At your house, though.
Yeah. I mean, where else? I don't like playing video games in public. I mean, arcades versus arcades. I'm talking about like waiting in line or sitting in a waiting room or anything like that.
Yeah,
I'm not in the mood to play video games because I can't fully relax. I decompress, like video games equals decompression for me.
So and, you're so funny. It's just like you're in line being like, fucking jump, motherfucker. All right, what's Nexomania?
I bought the Steam Link, and I love the Steam Link. I use it. It's
so a free version on your phone makes a lot of sense.
But the Steam Link, you can hardwire it. So if you absolutely want zero frame loss, and the Steam Link is still a good $5.
It would be interesting to see how this performs connectivity-wise.
No, fastidious, because it's been out for like 2 years. He says jokes on anyone who bought the Steam Link, but no.
Yeah, it came out in like 2015. And
it was never expensive. It was $50.
Yeah. And they always had it on sale for like half that.
Which was cheaper than all the other streaming. So it was cheaper than the Chromecast. It was cheaper. So I think it was a good bargain the whole time.
NVIDIA Shield was like, fuck, well, how much was that?
Oh,
that
you're
hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, like $250.
What's Nexomania?
Nexomania, I'm very excited about. This is, in my opinion... So Heroes of the Storm always has these events that they do, like Summer, Sun's Out, Guns Out. They've got Tychus in a Speedo, and they release skins, sprays, all this shit. Nexomania, they've been teasing this for a while.
I shouldn't have gone and made a drink during this part?
No, you're going to love this, man.
Oh, okay, cool. Does that have to do with Nexoramus?
No, it's Lucha Libre. Totally. Oh. It's fucking Diablo in a luchador mask, slamming dudes, talking in Spanish. They've got an announcer named El Guapo. Dude, it's going to be great. I'm so excited about this. The skins look fantastic. Love it.
Is it possible to get some audio on this?
We'll get a little audio here.
Who's that?
That's just a chihuahua in a luchador mask.
Chihuahua? Oh, that's a mount.
Yeah, it's a mount. You ride it.
Piñata mask is awesome. I mean, mount.
Guapo. Guapo, the announcer. Oh, yeah. Look at the Garrosh skin. He's got a chair instead of his axe.
A folding chair like
that. What's Garrosh's axe? Home screen or what? Something? But yeah, he's got a fucking...
We can turn it down now.
It's actually extremely loud. And this looks we got to make sure to edit that. When we
It sounded very quiet in mine.
Your headphones are quieter than ever.
Definitely loud.
Okay.
But goddamn, that was super sweet.
Yeah. So I'm excited. Cool. This is in PTR starting today, I believe. And then I think it's fully released in a week, next Tuesday.
So what is this? This is a map. This is skins.
It's skins. They always do like a quest line with this. So like get these certain things and unlock this stuff. But it's skins, it's sprays, it's an announcer pack, it's portraits, just all the cosmetics in game. They just have all these thematic things going into
that mounts.
The mount was funny. It was what is that?
I think Luchihuahua. The Piñata one was
Luchihuahua and a pig. Pigliata, because it was a boar. But it's going to be fucking great, man. I'm so excited about this. They've been teasing it for about a week, and I was like, oh my God, they better have a Diablo skin.
Bobby, how do you buy these things? Like, what currency do you need?
The in-game currency. So they sell it for, ever since the Heroes 2.0 update, they've had the in-game currency, gems, and shards.
Here's my question. You play so much. Do you have a stockpile of the currency?
Yeah, I got a lot.
Okay, so you'll be fine. You can buy all day one.
This shit's all bought day one. Yeah.
Amelia, will you promise me to do a Lucha Libre impersonation for the closing?
I will try.
Are you good at that? I would hope so. You were a luchador for Halloween this year.
Yeah, but they don't talk. They just wrestle, usually.
They grunt.
Yeah, they grunt.
Can you just sing some Vicente Fernandez?
Yeah. Volver.
All right. Hey, tell us about your new microphone.
It's called a Yeti Snowball Ice.
God, your piece of shit microphone was so terrible.
It was so bad. Well,
were you using your headset microphone?
My headset mic, but it wasn't that really. The headset mic had broken on top of that. So it was shorting out.
Okay.
So I would have to hold it like this in order for it to work. And then I shone it like this.
And, so glad you've been beyond headset microphones. Trust me, I've had
for sure.
A lifetime of frustrations with those.
I also want to talk about Amazon Prime Now and how wonderful it is. Why would I go to the store and buy something, and if in the same time I could get it from Amazon and it'll be in my house in 40 minutes?
Because it's $6 more.
No, you get free 2 hour for free if you have Prime on some stuff.
For real?
Yeah.
Because I just looked at it today.
But if you do 1 hour, then it costs you the $4.99 or $6.99.
Well, I saw a thing that was like same day delivery, and that was like $6 today.
Oh, it depends on the item, probably. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I paid the $6 or $4.99 or something like that, and I got it in 40 minutes, and it's fucking fantastic. Sorry if you are a fucking hick and you don't have this option. This is
fucking awesome. Con all you out.
Yeah.
Everybody except for those who live in
San Diego. I said, I'm sorry if you don't have this.
It does spoil you, being able to get stuff so quickly.
So quickly. It's amazing. This was the only mic available, and it also happened to be a very good mic. I did my research. Well, no. I found out what was available, and then I researched that one thing that was available. And I watched video after video, and everybody said it was great. And it's a condenser mic. It's very small. It's about the size of a softball, but it's not as heavy as a softball. It's very, very light.
And it comes on a tripod. Yeah.
It comes with a tripod. But here's the weird thing.
It's very well known, actually, the Yeti.
Yeah. Yes. We had the other Yeti.
We used the Blue Yeti in the early days of the podcast.
We had one thing we put in the middle, but it would pick up everything.
It was a condenser mic, yeah. Did you get the white or the black?
I got the ice.
The white.
The white one?
Yeah, I think so.
$50. Yeah, it's for the price, that is a fantastic mic. So you're using one of the mic stands, right? You aren't using the little tripod that came with it?
Yeah, so I couldn't get the tripod to fit in it. I don't know if the threading on the tripod was wrong, but I tried for 20 minutes, 15 minutes. I was doing other stuff. I was like watching videos, but I could not get this thing to work. So, but it didn't matter because it wouldn't have worked for me anyway, because that would have been too far away for me.
Yeah.
And we have mic stands everywhere here because Neuber.
So made possible by the Neuber Foundation. Yeah. So you're using one of these mics with the boom arms, right? Are you any interest in getting like an arm that clamps to the desk?
No, not really. Like, I'm happy with this because here's another good selling point. One, plug and play, easy, just worked. Worked right out of the box. That's it.
It's a USB though, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
People are saying, man, you sound so much better. We feel the richness of your voice. We want to have sex with you. They were just saying everything, right? So I'm like, hey, yeah, I know. This is how things are in real life. Don't worry. But I love how light it is, because the problem with these fucking boom arms is things falling over and spilling fucking drinks all over Minnie's pants. We've had this issue many times because they just fall over. And because a lot of times you can't put the...
Too bad I wasn't Nitro.
Just yeah. Kidding.
And that's a Westworld reference.
And the new season?
Kaboom.
Is it
Mike,
really not that good?
From what I understand, the...
What do you mean you understand? Recent, you've been watching it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The most recent episode kind of picks up a little bit.
Okay.
But the episode before this one, it was very disappointing. Uh-huh. Yeah. In terms of just... completely veered away from what I thought Westworld was. So
even if you're not streaming and you're not making YouTube videos, it's a $50 mic. You're going to need a boom arm, most likely. But, I mean, just the richness of my voice, I don't know about you, just comes through, and everybody's complimenting me on it.
If you care about how you sound through the computer, do not use a headset microphone.
Yeah. And I'm streaming a lot more.
It's mostly out of consideration for the people that you play with and communicate with. Like, definitely. It doesn't really affect you. I mean, and if you stream,
well, mine had broken, so I had to do something, you know?
Yeah. Cool. All right.
But this is probably like the best mic you can get for this price.
Yeah. For $50, this is the best mic you can get.
Yeah.
Yep. Right, Flying Hawaiian also, he had linked me what he had bought, and it looks more like an old school mic, but it's small. He paid $40 for that, and he likes it a lot, too. So there are other options.
Doesn't he have a Samsung? I think he showed me that one.
But so far, I'll give this a 5 out of 5. Yeah, I think it's a Samsung.
Okay.
Maybe even a 7 out of 7. Just saying.
Listener questions. Here we go. First one. This is a great question. This is in the running for listener question of the year here. I like this question.
Boom. Bullstone, new to Discord, new to...
I've never seen that name.
Yeah, yeah. He's been hanging out, been talking about stuff.
He's Rubber Nut's friend, if I recall.
Oh, fuck. Go away. Oh,
there you go. Now you ruined everything. He's out of the running for... No.
He's just a crazy Australian.
Okay, he asks, if you could have one console exclusive game come to PC, what would it be? You just get one. What's it going to be?
I have my answer right away.
What's Nathan Drake? What is that series called?
Uncharted.
Yeah, I've heard those games are fantastic.
Oh, so you haven't played it?
No, I've never played one.
Action-packed Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, those have always been piquing my interest. Oh, and I guess The Last of Us, but I kind of played it in
a way. That's the one. That's my one. Yeah. Like, if I had,
I was going to say someone was going to mention that game. Yeah. That's always
just,
one of the ones
you
that
completely
comes
flipped there. You said, I have one. Yes. I already have it ready. It's Tomb Raider. And
No. He was explaining what game that I had.
Oh, sorry. Him. Okay.
Nathan Drake is an action-packed Tomb Raider.
Oh, yeah. The Last of Us.
Yeah, The Last of Us.
But I'd rather see a girl's ass than a guy's ass the entire game.
They have a 12-year-old in there.
Ooh. No, not The Last of Us. I'm talking about Tomb Raider and Nathan Drake.
Oh, like, okay.
Nathan Drake is, you're watching a guy for 50 hours or a super hot girl for 50 hours.
I mean, it's all, if you want more action, you go for the Uncharted one.
Yeah.
Well, see, what's the Legend of Zelda game that was recent and everyone loved?
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. I got that. That's, you know, it's never going to happen, but no, maybe an emulator or something way down the line.
That's already a thing.
I haven't played a Zelda game since Super Nintendo, so I would like that.
Also, when you say they're emulators, they're emulating the... So it came out on two systems. This is where it took me a while. It came out on the Switch, and it also came out on the Wii U Plus, or whatever that second one was. And so they're emulating the Wii U version. To my knowledge, you can't get the Switch version on PC yet. That hasn't been cracked. The Switch hasn't been cracked yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that you can't emulate it yet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have two answers for this, because right off the bat, 2018, I would love God of War to be a PC title. Mm-hmm. It's such a good game.
Yeah.
And I still have yet to beat it, but I do plan to beat it. But there's probably one other title that's just, I need a little bit more time to process and think as an official answer. But, because...
No, God of War is a really good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I really love 2. 1 was fun. Never
played
3.
But this new one, though.
Yeah. So good. I mean, this is just a commercial, but you know when something wants to tout how well they did it with all the reviews, like there were so many 10 out of 10s on that screen. I was just like, whoa.
Good answers. Good question. All right.
What was your answer, Bobby? Oh, yeah.
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? That might even forego mine.
Yeah.
I want to play Breath of the Wild so fucking bad. Because, like, you'll have the game of the year from, like, 10 different things. And they'll all be different games, or like 3 from one or 2 from the other.
Mm-hmm. I feel
but Breath
like,
of the Wild just fucking run the gamut.
Do you
Grand
have any friends
everywhere.
With the Switch? I feel like the Switch oversells the fact that it's portable. It's so easy to pick up and bring over to a friend's house and start playing video games. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be easy to just borrow a Switch from somebody? I mean, I know it's fucking expensive
but not
as
Breath,
hell.
Not Breath of the Wild, because that, like, you're borrowing it for like, hey, let me borrow your game console for a month.
Yeah.
If it was like, bring it over so I can play by the advice,
but
if that
who,
makes sense.
I don't know. If I've had every single Nintendo console up through
Cube
the Wii
is
U.
When I stopped.
The Wii U.
Wii U. You had it? Or
I
no?
have a Wii U. I've had actually 2 sitting
so
in storage.
You can play Breath of the Wild, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. But you got to play with lower resolution.
It's been in storage for so long. That's why I'm saying if somebody really wants
for
to play.
Storage?
Huh?
I don't know. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Please.
All right. Shadow Master asks, any tips or any pointers for people who are new to playing games online? So I was talking to him about it a little bit, and I think he's kind of asking about the technical side of it, maybe. But I think you could answer the question either way.
Oh, I was going to go with the social version.
Yeah. I think we could go either way with
that.
Yeah.
So I can go pee. I'm going to say that, like, don't listen to people when they talk shit, because that's just the internet. I mean, that's how the internet is anyway, but like YouTube comments for example, but it gets worse with games. Like, it gets racial, it gets all this stuff, and it's not really, it's not real hate. It's just like a little bit of annoyance goes to level 10 on internet because of
anonymity.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of ragers don't necessarily target you personally.
Although Shadow Master, you're going to get a lot of hate. Like more than most people.
Yeah, take everyone with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like dirt off your shoulder. But yeah, but I feel like a lot of people who do rage out and attack a person, obviously they don't know you personally. They don't know anything about your lives. They don't know your first name. All they see is a screen name and however play style or the method you're playing the game, or you could have done nothing wrong at all and they're just raging at you because that's how they play video games. My advice when you are playing games online and socially is, and I would say this outside of video games, just be your fucking self. Don't apologize for who you are, you know? And it's one of those things where people, you will naturally attract friends that like who you are, and you wouldn't want to put in the extra effort to be somebody outside of who you like to be, whether it's on, or if you like to be a certain different personality on the internet, by all means, just, you know, like just be yourself and you'll enjoy yourself because you're not trying to please everybody. I think being the people pleaser is a way to stop having fun very quick.
Mm-hmm. I always wonder.
What do you want to say? Talk technical point. I want to hear what he has to say.
I mean, from a technical standpoint, don't play any games that are. Like, I wouldn't play a game that is going to require you to have a reliable connection if you don't have a reliable connection. Like, I can't tell you how many. I think every single game of League of Legends I played has had one person who was playing on, like, their Motorola phone from 2004. Like, you don't want to play any games like that. You can play online games, but, you know, maybe start with casual ones.
Yeah, like Sea of Thieves. Probably be a good one to start with.
Yeah, it'd be a great one.
Something that's not going to have a lot of trolls.
I wonder how people, like parents, introduce, like especially parents who are gamers, introduce their children to online gaming.
Because, throw them in the wolves. That's what I did with my nephew.
You know, with like ESRB, when they rate a game, they always mark down like online content not rated.
Right.
Basically saying we can't guarantee, like, you know, we made a G-rated game. This shit could get X-rated real quick.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I let my little nephew play Left 4 Dead Online when he was 6 going on 7. And I know it's very young, and I'm not saying I'm the best auntie.
But those people were awesome.
Yeah, and here's the thing. And the way I told him, I'm like, hey, don't take what they have to say seriously. Don't let your, it's like, don't.
You can speak on this better than anybody, because like, you're probably attacked more for being a girl.
Yeah, and it's
CSGO
just like, you know,
anybody.
It's like there, people will say what they say, but, you know, it's like just don't provoke them or engage them or even listen to them. And it's so funny and it's cute and adorable because when my nephew comes by and watches my stream, he will actually get, he'll be, what's it called? The whistleblower, where he's, calling me out for any swear word that I say, and he'll tell the chat to stop swearing. And then I'll be like, okay guys, my nephew's in the chat. So yeah. If you could please keep it G-rated, and it's always slip of the tongue. It's like, I feel like, and myself included, when I was much younger, I was playing Counter-Strike when I was 12, 13, a 12 year old girl playing Counter-Strike when the internet just fucking started.
I can only imagine.
So, and it's just one of those things I trusted and I respected my nephew to be who he's going to end up being, regardless of what he's exposed to, because there's no way to really protect someone without overly sheltered. Like, I think an overly sheltered person, it does more damage than somebody who can process, you know, the realities of like of the cruelties and the, like, bulliness of the world, and can train themselves to kind of what's it called? Like train up their defenses. What is it called? Against it.
That'll work.
Yeah.
Thick but, skin, basically.
Yeah. Build a thick. A thick skin.
Yeah. When you said like playing CS:GO as a 12-year-old girl, I'm just thinking that line from Shawshank Redemption where he's the only man who crawled through 40 miles of shit and came out clean on the other side.
Basically, yeah. But I don't even know.
So, it's not 40 miles out.
I don't think I'm very that clean at all either.
Probably like 400 yards of it. But
yeah.
But yeah, I took this question actually different from both you. Mine was more like on the skill standpoint, like how he's new to playing video games.
You got to get beat down.
Yeah.
You got to beat down a lot.
There are, I mean, YouTube videos are great, but there's also like a lot of games to like train your hand and reaction time. Like Osu is really good. Like a lot of pros, even like the Overwatch pros, they'll play Osu between matches just to get their hands warmed up. Mm. And that's kind of like a...
What's Osu? How do you spell it?
OSU. It's a Japanese game. Well, I don't know if it's Japanese, but
it's like
Japanese
a music word. Clicking game. I played a game very similar on DS a long time ago.
That was a weird autofill, huh, Bobby?
Yeah. So it's like DDR, but with the mouse, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Speaking of DDR, I saw somebody puts this somewhere, but there was a Jedi lightsaber DDR. Not Beat Saber. Yeah. Is that you?
No.
Oh, you saw it though, right?
Yes.
God, it looked cool.
It looks so cool.
So you have two lightsabers, one in each hand, and there's slashes coming at you, kind of like
blocks.
Yeah, and you have to slash the right way.
Yeah,
and you're making this awesome like fucking deep house.
That's music going really on. Cool. It's I would be totally down for that.
But of course, the video has an awesome player making no errors, right?
Yeah,
because you're like it's not going to come out nearly as cool.
Yeah, it's on Steam. It really looks cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Every time somebody talks about DDR or anything similar to it, it makes me just want to buy it again. It's just one of those pastimes that I just want to bust out and play.
I don't know this. Is there a peripheral and is there a game on PC that rivals DDR? Can you play DDR on a PC? Is that a thing?
There's probably something out there, but it's such a TV type of game because you have to see the arrows and you're constantly moving, so it's shifting your vision. Mm. I would have a difficult time playing
our screen on this PC.
I would.
Let me welcome you.
I know.
Had that
Fantasy
mat.
Island,
the running mat. Yeah, mm-hmm. Way back in
the Olympics.
The first Nintendo had so many different peripherals.
Yeah, that
so many
like that robot that didn't really do much.
Yeah,
robot.
Like Rob.
Yeah. Fucking glove. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them died. A lot of those peripherals died.
The power pad. Yeah.
Yeah. The power glove, the blaster,
Yeah. Good old Nintendo.
What's next?
That's it. Well, no, we got one more listener question. All right. So Warconius was talking about how he just beat Fallout New Vegas. Very impressed with the game. Lots of decisions to be made, lots of different endings. And he asks, is Fallout New Vegas the best Fallout game? Can you think of any other game where there are so many different endings?
There's two questions there. I didn't get hooked by New Vegas for some reason. I played it quite a bit. Maybe they lost me on the card game because I never understood the card game.
When you got to the casino, or what are you talking
about? Yeah, there's a card game inside of the game, right? Yeah.
They have poker.
You're probably most qualified to answer this question, Emilio, but I remember I played Fallout New Vegas 3 years ago, and I talked about it on the podcast. Like, I had a really tough time with this game. I think it just felt really dated to me, and I was just never really a fan of the Fallout series. I played 3 all the way through, but I kind of rushed it, didn't really take in the whole game like most people do. And I don't know, New Vegas just did not grip me at all.
It didn't grip me either. And Fallout 3 was my favorite game of all time for a really long time. Might still be.
I can definitely say New Vegas was my personal favorite.
Yeah.
Because I've never actually beaten any of the Fallouts, but New Vegas was the one that clamped onto my attention longest.
Either so it grabs I played the you most. Don't,
I played the most of New Vegas compared to other Fallout titles.
I always like flirt with the idea of going back and modding the fuck out of it because there's so many New Vegas mods, but I just haven't done it.
Here's something interesting. You ready for it? I love New Vegas.
And
it's an open world game.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is it the best thing ever?
I seriously do. Yeah. I love New Vegas.
You played it like you played Fallout 4, where that's it.
I did a couple side missions and I didn't really like them, but the main story missions in this game are awesome.
Yeah.
Damn.
Like mm-hmm. they like when you had launched
and the characters
that rocket,
are really cool.
Yeah. I want to say I got 60% of the way through and I still didn't finish. I don't know what it was. It wasn't Fallout 3. You know, cuz they outsourced the development to somebody else. So I was really looking at, I was like, ooh, a new Fallout 3. And then it wasn't. And the whole time I was like, this isn't Fallout 3.
The end of the game was really epic.
Yeah.
There was a huge battle. It was awesome.
Yeah, I want to go back, but I won't.
As far as the best Fallout game, like I used to play the 1, 2, and Tactics. Like I was a big fan of those.
That's awesome.
And I think Tactics is my favorite, but I had to say New Vegas is probably the best one.
What's Fallout Tactics again?
It's like a when Tactics, like a,
it's a cell phone game, basically, isn't it?
No, that's that's the one that you played a lot. The Fallout phone mobile game. You know what I'm talking about? Come on now.
Fallout Tactics?
No, Fallout Tactics was not the cell phone game.
No.
Fallout Shelter, I think.
Oh, yeah. Right. So that's not what you're talking about.
No, Fallout Tactics was a tactics game.
Yeah.
Kind of like a...
Can you bring it up,
Bobby? Divinity Original Sin.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, it's like Divinity Original Sin, but like in Fallout. Like it's just like turn-based. Okay.
Like grid-based, turn-based shooter.
Yeah.
That looks like a lot of fun.
Like old XCOM.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, yeah.
That's cool.
Cool. You're the only person that ever played this.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
No, this was a big game. People loved it.
New Vegas. I remember it being very popular. I just never, even when I played Fallout 3, it was way after the hype had died down for that game. I was just not into those types of games. Yeah. All right. Cool.
Wrap this pitch up.
Yeah.
Yep. What are we doing next week?
Bobby?
I'm going to be streaming as much as I possibly can, some old games.
Can we play some more Stardew, Bobby? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm down for some more Stardew. It's just such... Stardew, like... Oh God,
at the beginning, you must feel like you're not doing anything. Like, you're not being
I mean, it's a simulation game, so it's a little bit out of time. And we must have played till, like, 1 in the morning. And finally, I was like, I got to go to bed. I feel like shit
tomorrow. Did you crash after that? Or did you keep toiling away?
Well, I think when I left the game, everyone else had to leave. Because I was the host of the game. Yeah, so it's my save. So we can play. So yeah, maybe a little more Stardew. I got to figure out what old game I want to play on stream. Like I said, I'm leaning towards Prey, the 2006 version, possibly Quake.
What was that game? What kind of game was it? Was it another?
It was like, I want to say it was like BioShock. Like it was a shooter mixed with some RPG, but maybe it had to do with like a Native American.
Yeah, it's a Native American that was being abducted by aliens. Prey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was some weird ghost alien.
Yeah, ghost alien.
Native American.
The spiritual journey of alien spirits.
It was a lot of different weird storyline concepts, I would say.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I don't know much about the gameplay because everything else was very distracting.
Is it RPG-like? Like, is it more of a shooter?
It's more of a shooter.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm on board with that. Like, I'm totally ready for that. Because the remake of Prey was a lot of slow... It was very much BioShock. Very slow-paced, exploring, finding things... Not as much shooting as I would have hoped
for. The main
mechanic
I remember about the original Prey is that when you die, you go into a spare realm and you have to like find your body or something.
Yeah.
So the action never stops. Even when you die, you have to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Gravity Play, the Mayo style. Says, Gravity Play also, there was like, you're on like an alien anti-grav ship, so like you have to walk on walls, walk on the ceiling. And
all right.
Yeah. Was it a good game?
It was kind of hated when it was released, but then like it became...
became a cult classic.
Following, yes. Because
It was not a popular game.
No.
Like, I remember my buddy showing me this, like, nobody's heard of this shit, but you got to check it out. Yeah. You know, it was one of those games.
Chi, what are you playing?
I'm going to continue to play the Nonary games and Stardew if I can. And for PC, I might throw a third title in there, but most likely it's My Time at Portia. nothing too different from what I've been playing now.
They should change the title for you, All My Time at Portia.
That's a good one.
That's perfect, for me, if I have time, Battletech, but I've been spending a lot of time working on my motorcycle. Like, I'm spending like 4 hours a night trying to get this
thing
ready.
Dude, you're doing a good job. Those pieces look awesome.
It takes so long.
Huh?
He's putting a vinyl wrap on his motorcycle.
It's on Discord. But it's on hardware.
Motorcycle's still red, though, right?
For now. I saw
it parked outside. Plucked.
Yeah, for now it is, but I'm currently having another set of fairings that I'm vinyl wrapping.
Okay, that's cool.
Good Lord, does it take forever.
I don't know. What's a fairing?
The plastic.
Oh.
The body, basically.
Okay. Cool.
And for you, Sea of Thieves?
On Magic the Gathering Arena, you can sign up for the closed beta, and I'm waiting to hear back on whether or not I'm in.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
Did you tell them, like, who you are?
I mean, I don't like to I don't like to brag except for on here. So, besides that, Sea of Thieves, if friends are available. If not, then I will be playing City of Brass.
Can I play with you?
If not, what?
Sea of Thieves.
Don't be an asshole.
He can't. Motherfucker. He can't.
He can't. He's impotent.
Well, he can. Sea of Thieves. He can, oh, but yeah, he chooses.
He doesn't have the potency to run Sea of Thieves, so he's impotent.
All right. Actually, guys, I have been considering getting Windows 10.
Oh, that's funny. It's called peer pressure and constant teasing.
And yeah, you know, the reason for that is because I had a friend who, she uses TeamSpeak to this day. And I'm like, why the fuck do you use TeamSpeak when Discord does?
Did you recognize yourself?
Yes, exactly.
In that person?
Yeah, I'm like,
you're Discord that person. You're that guy.
Everything better that TeamSpeak does.
Yeah.
It does everything it does.
No, better. You don't have to explain. Yeah, Discord's the best. Yeah, we get it. That's why we're on Discord.
We got the allegory.
Yeah.
Can I finish my fucking sentence, Emilio?
Okay, go.
You tell me I can talk this podcast and you talk over me. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to interrupt me now while I'm explaining this to you?
Please enlighten us.
Oh, well, you already know what I'm going to say anyway.
Yeah. All right. Speaking for...
I don't want to be that guy.
Roberto, the Blue Bomber. And Chi, the Chinese Chicken. And Mini Del Macho, which is already like a Mexican midget.
Smoochie, say smoochie.
It's too late. You're already the Chinese chicken.
She, the Chinese chicken. Fucking.
And.
Tastes like oranges.
Emilio, also known, a.k.a. El Guapo. We'll be back next week. Thank you very much. Tetas.
Tetas. Baby. Thank you so much for...